Okay, I guess everybody knows it's a very difficult thing to do tshuva. Tshuva Gemara, certainly. But I think part of the reason why it's difficult to do tshuva is because of a lack of knowledge with regard to tshuva. That certainly is part of the reason. And the more knowledge a person has of tshuva, the more available the process becomes to him, without a doubt, and the easier it is for the person to approach it. That's why the men Reb Chaim must learn one parak in the Hilchos Tshuva every day of Aseres Meshuva. But the Rambam, as we mentioned yesterday, was the first one, perhaps the only one, that really showed or demonstrated that tshuva is not merely introspection. Everybody approached tshuva from the framework of introspection. That's what it is. All right, says all. In other words, everybody when they learn Hilchos Tshuva feels that the appropriate Rambams in Hilchos Tshuva are really to be found in Perek Beis. I mean, those are the Rambams that people feel are really germane to the issue of tshuva. That tshuva gemura, osayishos, makamos, azman, and tshuva sheina gemura, and tshuva when he's young, and tshuva when he's old. All these areas, everybody feels comfortable with as part of the essence of tshuva. But other areas, like for instance, where the Rambam raises the question of with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yediyah and Bechira Chofshis, I mean, there, people don't really feel that that's really belongs in Hilchos Tshuva. That's a philosophical question. Somehow or other, Rambam put it in there. But the Rambam was, as we said, was the first one to show that Hilchos Tshuva is more than just introspection, but it involves a vast area of knowledge that a person must conquer, must master before he could really involve himself properly in tshuva. And that the Rambam stated in the outset in the Koseres, where he says that a bir mitzvah zu v'ikorim hanigrorim ima biglola beprogamel. So he says, Rambam introduced the idea that you must, in order to be involved in tshuva, in order for a person to be involved in the mitzvah, now see as a mitzvah of tshuva, there are certainly korim that he must master, he must know very well. Okay, that's again why Reb Chaim's minig was to learn every day a perek. Because you can't do tshuva Yom Kippur. It's impossible unless you know all these ideas. Okay, what I'd like to do is to get involved a little more in these ikarim and the precise role that these ikarim play in the process of tshuva. Okay, and to get a better grasp of how these ikarim really are intertwined with tshuva. And they're not just part of tshuva. I mean, you can't separate them out. They're inextricable. You can't separate them out from tshuva. Okay. So there's a couple of questions that I'd like to raise. They're not perhaps new questions, but I think they're significant ones. Let's take, for instance, the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Vav. Alright, Perek Beis Halacha Vav. So Rambam says, Afa pisha tshuva v'atzaka yofa l'olam, v'asara hayomim shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha-kippurim hi yofa b'yoser, u'miskabelasi miyad, shenema dirsha Hashem b'matzah. Okay, fine. But, I mean, I just like to understand what it means that the tshuva is different. If I do tshuva on the Aseres Yemei tshuva, it's different than if I do tshuva in the middle of the year. I mean, well, why should it be different? Okay? and Miskabela Simiyat. That would seem on the surface really to be pogeya almost. I mean, Chalila and Kavara don't call. I mean, to say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in somehow or other, his mishpat is going to be affected by his man, I mean, is almost, I mean, against the Ikri and Yisari Adas. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is l'mayla min hazman, and it shouldn't. It's almost. I mean, like it's almost shocking that the Rambam would write such thing. When Rambam himself says that anyone that thinks that he affects God in any way, or that time is an element in terms of God, time is a creation, and God is outside of time, above time, and here. The Rambam says that the somehow or other that a tshuva b'asara yom ma'elu is different. Miskabelus imiyah, dir shoshem b'matzo. Even dir shoshem b'matzo. He's always in matzo. What's the difference now? Now he's more in matzo than other times. I mean, that's almost chalila. I mean, akshama sabare. It's a strange kind of a halacha around tells us. It's a strange kind of phenomenon. I mean, how do you understand such thing? How do we place such a thing in the framework of the Yisori Adas? Now, of course, nobody knew Yisori Adas better than the Rambam, and the Rambam himself quotes this halacha, Maimar Chazal, and he doesn't have any problem with it. There's no problem apparently with the Rambam. Okay, that's something I think is an important question. Yeah. He's the Ashgacha because it says that the Tzibor is always. The Tzibor is Miskabals Miyad. Miskabals Miyad. Yeah. Ashgacha. Ashgacha. What difference does it make to the Bari Olam if a person did Chew in the Sashi Meichu or a person did Chew in the middle of the wintertime? What's the difference? What's the difference? Yeah, he says, Yafi. Yeah. Yafi Yeshiva Tzaki Yafal Olam. It's Yafi B'Yosef. It's Yafi B'Yosef. I don't see why. A person does tshuva gemura. Tshuva gemura, belev sholem, and the das shlema, and like the Rambam says, the yod alav bore olam, she la yoshev, la chedover zeod, what could be more than that? He didn't do it in the right time? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Okay. And without the Rambam, you say, posh it. Let's say, for instance, see, the Rambam says that, in Perek Gimel, he says, Halacha Gimel, Kishem Sheshoklin Zuchuyos Odom Vavonosov Bishas Misoso, Kach Bechol Shona Veshona Shoklin Avonos Kol Echod the Echod Mi Boi Olam, Im Zuchuyosov. So Echod Kol Echod Mi Boi Olam means even Gayim. Im Zuchuyosov Bi Yomtev Shor Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Ram Per Gimel Lach Gimel Havas Shiva. Okay. Mishin Nimsa Tzadik Nechtam Lachayim, Mishin Nimsa Rosh Nechtam Lamisa. So that's all you need, really. You didn't need the other Rambam. All you need is that Rambam. That the Rambam says that there's a shas mishpat for a person at the conclusion of his life. That's one time that there's shoklin of onosov and mitzvosov is chuyosov shalom. And then there's another thing that life is broken up into certain units. Certain units of existence. What are the units of existence? Every year, annual unit. One every year is a unit, and at the end of each unit, the person's situation is judged, and the judgment takes place based upon his status, the status of the soul. I mean, is at that time, okay? What it is, only a Kadosh Baruch Hu could know. V'shikol zeinu l'fi minyan haschuyas, but he says the only one, the name shokna lo b'daito shel kel deos. V'hua yadeya heyach orchen haschuyas k'neged avonos. Okay, so the kel deos, Kadosh Baruch Hu is done, every person in a units, intermittently units of his existence, which the unit is a year. Okay, that's what the... That's a, that. That's a, no. That see that. That's not a question. That's just the so fact. That's time insofar as you're concerned. Your time. Yeah. Kadosh Baruch Hu's mind is mine, but insofar as your time is concerned, we exist in a time space existence, and so it means to say, that was the Ashgacha works according to a certain unit of existence. That was when are you going to judge? You have to judge a person. You judge him every second. I mean, judge him when? So you have to give him ample time of function, and you judge. He's judged after a certain amount. He needs a certain amount of experience. I mean, in order to judge him, okay? You can't judge him in a second. Split the second in half. When is he judged? So he has a unit of performance, and the year is a unit of performance. So that I understand. The judgment has to take place based upon a certain unit of performance. You can't have a judgment if there's no unit of performance. You follow what I mean? So that's why the Rambam says that the unit of human performance is a year. That's a unit. Okay?
You judge for that year or you judge at that point for a human?
But you must have a unit of function in order to judge a human being. Okay, so that's not a problem. I mean, that makes sense. Well, what is the unit? Is the unit a day? Is it a month? And there has to be a judgment based upon a certain existence, experiential and personal existence, where he exercises bechira. What is the unit? So one unit is his life. That's for sure a unit. But the Rambam says just like a person's life is a unit, a year's time is considered a unit. Okay. Insofar as judgment is concerned. So a person did Averis on Monday, and so God doesn't judge him so quickly. Tuesday, he still doesn't judge. He has a year's time in which, in the end of the year, that's when he's judged. It's Machlokes Tanaim, basically. We went through this one before. Some say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges b'chol yom. Every day is a unit. Yeah, but see, the Rambam maintains that's not so. Rambam maintains that the unit of existence in which you judge, the realm, the sphere, the field of activity, is 1 year. 1 year's time. Okay. Yeah. Your question is, why should the year be from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah? Okay. Fine, but whatever it is. But that's a minor point. Okay, but the idea of a year is not really a problem, but it makes sense. A person lived one way in Chodesh Cheshvan, and by the time Chodesh Nisan rolled around, he changed. So you see, so you don't judge him by Chodesh Cheshvan. He needs a year's time of function. You need a certain amount of time to be able to function in order to. It's not simply that's why he says that the only one that can be done is Kael Deos, because a person see, yeah, he did something bad at this point. So you judge him at this point. You'd say he's a Russia. You need a certain sphere of operation. The sphere is a year's time. That's what the Rambam said. But that's all you need, really. But that has nothing to do with what the Rambam said before in Perek Beis, that the tshuva is a superior tshuva, miskabelas biyosa. That's something else. That's just a plain phenomenon. That's what most people understand. The idea is that what? That a Saracen made tshuva is why? Because you try to do something before the end of the Gzar Din. I mean, that's all you need, really, right? So the Gezar Din, so Rosh Hashanah is the first Gezar Din, and then you assume you're Beinoni, so it's Tolan, so you have time to do tshuva till Yom Kippur. That's it. Not because the tshuva is any better, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more korov biyosa. That's a different idea. What kind of idea is? You don't need that idea in order to get a person to do tshuva, to realize the importance of tshuva, of Aseres Mei Tshuva. It's the practical thing. I mean, the din is coming. You have a year's time. Now it's the end of the year. You have to make a cheshbon nefesh. First, let's make a cheshbon nefesh. It's the end of the unit. The end of the year is approaching. But what does it do? Yofa. It's not yofa biyosem. It's kabbalah. What's it got to do with that? Okay. Two different halachas. The Rambam is not. It's not a repetition here of the Rambam in the Perek Gimel Halacha Beis. It's not a repetition of the Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Vav. It's a different thing altogether. Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, just while we're on this, in Halacha Dalet, Paragim Halacha Dalet, it's a funny thing where the Rambam says, why do you get up early in the morning to say Slichas? So everybody learns this simply. You got to say Slichas because you want to do Tshuva. And again, it has to do with the fact that the Gzar Din, you have an impending Gzar Din. Okay? It's like it's an eighth, sorry, you have to... So you try to do your best to do tshuva. But the Rambam is a funny thing. Rambam says, "Nalach ava pishet chias shofar barashan exeres akasev." Okay, so remez yeshbo klomo uri yishena uri yishena mishinaschem v'nedom hikitzu mitadamaschem the chifsu maasechem, the chizru b'tshuva, the zichru barachem, elo shechem esemes bahavle asman, v'shogim kol shenosam, v'hevo v'rika shalo yov v'lo yatzil, habitul nafshesechem, v'itivu darkechem u'ma'alalechem, v'yazov kolechem mikem darko horo machshav tova shalotova. Okay, so that's the call, the shofar really is a call for tshuva. Okay, now the Ram goes lefichach tzarach kol adam shira atzma kol hashana kilu chetz zakev vechetz chayev. Right, what's this lefichach? What was it going to do? I don't understand. So since the shofar Russian is telling a person to do tshuva, chifzub maseichem and do tshuva, so lefichach therefore what? So therefore, I say lefichach yase koladim tshuva b'Rosh Hashanah. Kishashamei as a shofar. No, the Ram says lefichach tzorach koladim shiira atzmo kol hashana kulo kilu chetzi zakai vechetzi chayev. That's why a person all year round has to look at himself as if he's 50-50, he's a benoni. V'chein kol ha'olam chetzi zakai vechetzi chayev. And the whole world also he must look at as being chetzi chayev benoni. Okay. Chot achet echad, if he does one avera, hare achriyas atzmo is kol olam kulo lekaf chov v'gom l'shchasa. If a person does one avera, so what happens? So it means that the entire himself and the entire world, he converted the whole situation l'ra l'shchasa, and everybody's going to be destroyed. Also mitzvah achas, he did one mitzvah, hare achriyas atzmo is kol olam kulo lekaf schos v'gom lo v'lohem tshuva v'tzola shenema, and he saved everybody in the world. Okay. Shenema v'tzadik yisod olam. What does it mean tzadik yisod olam? Why is the tzadik the foundation of the world? Ze she tzadak hichrias kol olam l'schus v'itzilo. This person through doing one mitzvah saved the entire world. That sounds on the surface like a little bit of an egocentric kind of a system, but at any rate, fine. But the problem is, what is the continuity in the Rambam? What's the lefichach? Lefichach, so therefore, since the shofar in Rosh Hashanah says chizmasechem, so therefore a person all year round must look chetzo chayev v'chetzo zakai, and therefore, if he does one avera, the whole world is destroyed. If he does one mitzvah, he saves the entire world. Okay, then first of all, what does it got to do with Rosh Hashanah? He says kol Hashanah. Kol Hashanah. What's it? It doesn't follow through. All right? And then he says, now he comes back, because of this, Nogu kol Beis Yisrael, so all Klal Yisrael and Noeg, laharbos bitzdoko b'masim tovim, alright, to do a lot of tzdoko and a lot of maasim tovim, v'lasog b'mitzvos, and to be osek in mitzvos, me Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom HaKippurim, yes, I'm Mikol Hashanah. So let me say this, it's not just to avoid pasakum, but it means to do more. I mean, to be involved more and live differently in these aseres yemei tshuva, to involve yourself more in ma'asim tovim and in tzedakah and in mitzvahs in general, more than you do all year round. V'nagu kulam lakum balayla baseres yomim elu ulespalel b'botei knesios b'divrei tachnunim l'kivushin at sheyor hayom. So Ram holds, and that's why the minhag was to get up in the night, in the nighttime. That's the idea of slichas. It means to get up at night, okay, before kodem shiyar yom, to start off with divrei tachnunim of kivushim. So what comes according to Ram? What's the reason for slichas? What's the reason for slichas? Why do you say slichas? To be mate kol olam kulo lekaf schus. That's what he says, right? I mean, basically, that's what he says. To be mate kol olam kulo lekaf schus. So that's really the reason for getting up slichas. Ask a person, why are you getting up early in the morning slichas? Because I have to save the world. This Rambam is very disconnected. He's very disconnected, the Rambam. He starts off with remez of Rosh Hashanah, then he goes back to the regular every day all year round, and then somehow or other he travels back to Aseres Yemei Tshuva. I mean, it's a funny kind of a thing. It's disjointed, the Rambam. You understand what I mean? Hey, the Rambam of the Kol Shofar doesn't seem to have anything to do with the fact of With the fact of Kalashana, I mean, it's disjointed. Or I don't see there's no continuity in this realm. There's three separate topics here. One is what the remnants of the Kol Shofar is, one. Two is how a person should look at himself all year round on a constant basis. Okay, and three is slichas on between sesame and shuvah. Okay, now well, let's go back to the original thought, namely the original theme, which is that the Rambam held that there are ikorim and the grorim ima v'glola that are vital and essential component to shuvah. All right, and it's an interesting thing. But the Rambam, what are those ikarim? What are those ikarim? So if you take a look, it's pretty easy to discern them. If you take a look, for instance, Perek Hamishi, Rishus L'chol Adam Nesuno, Imratza L'hatos Atzma L'derech Tova, V'liyos Tzadik Rishus B'yadom, okay, V'imratza L'hatos Atzma L'derech Ra, V'liyos Rosh Rishus B'yadom. So that's basically Bechira Chavshis, free will, okay. Now, Perek Shishi is where the Rambam really continues on free will, but not philosophically, but he deals with certain problems that people think are presented in the Torah. And he shows what are not problems. So that's basic continuation. Okay. Then you have like this. Then in Perek Shvi, so he tells you why, that's why a person should do tshuva. It's continuation. Oh, it's just kolam nesun. It's a continuation of Bechira Chavshis. That's basically Bechira Chavshis. Okay. Perek Shmini is another yisod. Atova tzfunu letzadikim michayi olam abba. Okay? So that's another yisod, obviously. That another ikr. Chayi olam abba. And then he elaborates on what chayi olam abba is in Perek Ches. Okay, he says important things. He says he explains that Shema Teikal Beinecha Tovazu and Olachavav the Tidna Shein Schar Mitzvus the Yosadam Shalim Medaka Emes Eloliyos Olachavashosa Machavas Tovos Bolzers Noros Lovish Big Deshesh all the physical pleasures. He says Kemoshe Medamin Elohar Voyim Atipshina Vilim Ashtufim Bezima Avala Chachomim. Ram explains that basically what the world's philosophy, the world, what does Ram say? What does Ram call them names? Because the Rambam is telling you that simply the philosophy of the world, the world's philosophy, could all be boiled down to one thing. Ignorance. That's it. They just don't know. They don't have any knowledge. That's why it says Aval Hachachomim Ubali Deo Yedu Shekolas Varmil De Revoy. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of they just don't know the Tipshim. They just they have no knowledge at all in this area. It's simply a mistaken knowledge, just like you have a mistake in any area, in any area where a person doesn't know what he's doing, he's obviously going to be lost and he's going to draw the wrong conclusions. So the philosophy of the world is based on a lack of knowledge, and the Chachamim know that they have the knowledge, so they know this is all wrong. Okay, good. Now, so that's the next. That's another yisod. Okay, that's another yisod is Olam Abba, and then basically he continues with that theme with Olam Abba, and in Perek Tishi he does the similar as he did before. He says there's certain problems that might arise. Iftar explains to you what it is philosophically, so he deals with the certain problems that may arise from a cursory reading of the Torah, and you're going to make a mistake, and you're going to think there's certain problems, but he removes the problems. Okay. Okay. Then, of course, in Perek Asiri, he goes into the highest level of existence, which is Oved Me'ava. Okay, another yisod. But it's interesting. What would you think would be the biggest yisod? Of course, is found in Perek Gimel in Perek Gimel Halacha Zion. That's what I would say is the biggest yisod, though. Ha'omer Hamisha Hein Anikroyim Minim. Ha'omer She'ein Shom Alaka. The Ein La'olam Manik. All right? Elsin is Big Yisod. As a matter of fact, I'm not the one that says Big Yisod. The Rambam says Big Yisod. Because Rambam starts off his Sefer with a statement, Yisod HaYisodos, Yisod HaYisodos, the Omor HaChachmos, Leda, Sheyeshom, Eloka Motzi. Is that what it was? Sheyeshom Motzi Rishon. Motzi Rishon. That's Yisod HaYisodos. And I'm on a chachmas. Leida sheyeshom motzei rishon. Okay. Now what does Ram say over here? Homa sheyeshom alaka. That's basically, I mean, vein lolamanik. All right. So you would think if the Rambam is organizing tshuva, he says tshuva is based on ikarim. So I would think that he would introduce this ikar, certainly like he introduces the other ikarim. Rishus l'chavodim nesuno, hatova tzvon l'tzadikim. He would have a perek, I mean, of where he says, you saw Iker or Ikrim is this. Okay? All right? But the Rambam doesn't introduce that way. How does the Rambam bring this in? It's a funny thing. What is this doing here, basically? According to the Rambam, as an Iker per se, it wouldn't even be here. Because the Rambam introduces it parenthetically. In Perek Gimel Mehilchus Tshuva. And what does Perek Gimel Mehilchus Tshuva deal with? Perek Gimel Mehilchus Tshuva deals with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done the world. Okay? So that's what he says. Kol lecha v'echad in the beginning of Paragim. Kol lecha v'echad in the Odom yesh lo zechuyis v'avonos. Mish yesh chuyis v'seres al v'avonos tzadik. Avonos yesh lo zechuyis. Russia. Machza beinani. And then he goes through that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done. So the Paragimu really is designated to Mishpat Hashem. Right? Hashem's Mishpat. And in the Mishpat he says, He brings down in Halacha Hey, he says V'chein kol rishonim shavonoseim merubim donenosan kefi chet on chetayim v'yeshlam chelak l'olam haba shekol yisrael yeshlam chelak l'olam haba af pishachatu shenem v'amcha kol tzadikim. Okay, V'chein chasid yomos olam yeshlam chelak l'olam. Fine. Halacha Vav ve'elu she'ein lohem chelak l'olam haba ela nechrasim v'ovdin. Okay? So Ram says that these are the ones, there are certain people that are nidun v'nichras v'nevodim because of their averis, they're nidun l'olam l'olam e'olamim. And who are these people? These are the minim, the apikursim, and the kofrim b'torah, and kofrim t'chis ha'mesim, b'yas ha'goel, Mordim Machtiya Rabbin Maholist. Okay. So that's what now he starts off. Chamishohim Anikroim Minim. There are five people that are called Minim. Haomer Shein Shom Elakai Vein Lolamanik. And he goes on. Okay. But what I want to show you is that how does he introduce this Yisod is not being introduced as a Yisod per se, as a Nikar per se. Right? I mean, he doesn't introduce it like he does Rishisul L'Cholol Nesonah. He says like this, Lorenzo says, there is such a thing as Mishpat. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu was done each individual at the end of his life and after certain units of his life. Okay? That's fact. Now, he says, and certain people are, God is done for good, and others he's done for bad. Okay, fine. But then he says, now there's another group there that God has done in a way that they are nechrasim and have totally annihilated. Okay? And that group consists of the minim, let's just take the first three, the minim, the apikursim, and the kofrim batara. And now he says, I want to tell you what these people are. Okay? What is a min? A min is a person that denies that the olam has a money, that there's a God. Okay? All right. So basically, he denies the first Yisod. Right? So what I'm trying to show you is like this. That the Rambam is very funny because the Rambam is telling you these Yisodos not because he seems to hold it's an Iker in Tshuva, but because he holds, for some reason, I must know how and why these people that God judges are going to be totally annihilated. I mean, it's a funny kind of a thing. Let's say I didn't know. And there's good reason. It's a good reason for the Rambam to introduce that way, for a simple reason, because if he's just telling you the Yisodos, it would be repetitious. He would say, the Yisodos that you have to know for Hilchos Tshuva is the first thing I wrote, and obviously Yisodos, Vamachachmas, Leideh, Sheishim, Ota, Motzi Risha. Okay? So that's all the Rambam has to do, be repetitious. And the Rambam seems to be repeating, because he goes through the same things that he mentions in the first paragraph. But over here, it's in a different framework. Over there, it's a Yisod per se, because you must know this Yisod. And that's the mitzvah of Anocha Hashem Elokecha. But over here, he's saying, you have to know it. Why do you have to know it? Why do you have to know it? It's an interesting thing. You have to know it because since God judges, and in judging, God does this and that. Okay, and then also, that's when he judges the Rishayim and the Tzadikim. That's one kind of judgment. Then there's certain people that forget it. Then the Chosim and Evadim, they're not even that kind of Mishpah. It's a different kind of Mishpah. They're totally destroyed and totally annihilated. Okay? And those are this group, and now you should know what this group is. Why do I have to know so much about this? I mean, what is the... I have to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpah. But apparently, he's not introducing it as a Yesod per se, because then this isn't the proper framework. He should reduce it like... Rishus L'Chalot Nesuna, like in Parakeh. So he's not saying that's what he's doing. Basically, he's reducing the stature of the Iker, in a sense. He's not saying it's an Iker per se. He's saying it's an Iker which you must know, Agav Orcha. You see, Agav Orcha, because you must know God judges. This is the way he judges. So he's really reducing the importance of the Iker by placing it in a secondary manner. It's like a funny kind of a thing. I mean, I would say that it's a clear reference to how he started out, because he said, Ikorim Hanigrorim Ima Biglola. Okay? So, Ima would seem to be like Rishus L'Chalot Nezur. This is Biglola. This is Biglola. Somehow, parenthetically, you must know how God judges, and you should know that there are certain people who judge this way, and these are the people. You must have this knowledge in order to do tshuva. What if there's knowledge in order to do tshuva? What if I didn't know exactly? I know Yisoda's Va'omer HaChachmas Leida Shigesham Matzirishan. I know that. Okay? That's not how Lachan Nechus Tshuva, it's called Tarakula. Right? But that's not enough. I must know that the way God judges a person that doesn't have that Yisod, he's called a Min, and he's Nechras La'olam, and this is exactly, I'll give you categories of these people. Okay? Difficult thing, it's accidental, parenthetical, and what do I have to know it for? I mean, you understand? If you're going to tell me I have to know because it's a Nicker, so first of all, I said it already. And then in the opening statement of the Sefer, right? How am I going to say that? What? That it's not because I... That's, of course, you have to know. But it's part of Mishpah, so what do I have to know? The details of how God judges the people and how he categorizes them. And of course, Baruch Yosh Mishma says, this guy, he's a min because of this and that. This guy, he's not Bikaris. This one is a Kaf Batara. And God categorizes them and based upon all these categories. What's my business? What do I have to know about that for? Funny kind of a thing. The way he introduces these Ikarim over here is very funny. Okay? What the Rambam should do is introduce these Yisod, may Yisod HaTshuva is may Yisod HaDos, but then now it's also Tshuva, because Tshuva is Losh of Hashem, so obviously you must know what I wrote in the first parak, Yisod, otherwise who are you being a shov to? So you understand? It'll be self-explanatory, basically. I don't even know if you'd have to mention it. But if he would, he'd say, that's the Yisod, Kasher Bi'ano B'tchilas HaSefer. Okay. It's a funny kind of a, the way he introduces is very funny. Introducing, you have to know parenthetically because God judges, and certain individuals are judged for certain reasons, and these are them, and now this is what they are, and you have to know this. Tell this true. Why? Chamisha hein hanekroim minim. All right. So let's take a look. The best thing is to analyze what he, from the area itself. Okay. Chamisha hein hanekroim minim. There are five people that we can classify as minim. Ha'omer she'ein shom eloka. Okay. Ve'ein la'olam manhig. Okay. All right. I don't want to get too much into the semantics of the what he's saying. Basically, in other words, he says there's no borei olam. Okay. All right. Va'omer she'yesham manhig. Okay, manig doesn't necessarily mean in terms of mishpat. Manig means a source of all existence, and it is because of him that everything in the order that we see prevails. That's what he means, manig. Okay, his existence is a source of the prevailing order. Okay. Yeah, left hand. That's fair. Aval hand, and he says yes. Okay, so that's one. So one is he simply denies the existence of a God, basically like in the beginning. Yisodi Yisodas Leda Shiyashim Lakam Matsurishin. Okay. Now, so Va'omer. Now, next, I guess Va'omer Shiyashim Manig Avalein Shnayim O Yeser. He says that it's more than one. Okay, so the Rambam explains, and I told you to take a look at the Rambam Hilchos Yisodei Torah, right? Where the Rambam explains that the idea that God is one is in Halacha Zayin, Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin. He says Elokka Ze Echad Ve'Einu Shnayim V'Lo Yesar Shnayim. That's the same thing he's saying here, right? Ela Echad She'Ein Ki Yichudo Echad Min Achadim HaNimtzom Ba'Olam. Okay, elaborates. Lo echad kminchu kol elachadim harbe, velo echad kuguf shu nechlok umachlok v'sovas. El yichud she'ein yichud acher kamoso ba'olam. Why? So like he explains, ilu haya elohos harbe hayu gufin ugvios. Okay, if there were many, so they'd have to be physical. M'nei she'ein ha'nimnin ha'shovim b'mtzi'usan nefrodin zemize ela b'ma'oroin she'yiru b'gufos v'gvios. Because how do you separate two things that are identical, in essence? Because they're physically, and they're physical things, so you can separate them. There's one over here, one over there. He says, V'ilu haya yotzer gufu gviyo haya lokes v'tachlis she'yiru gufan. Okay, so he shows that, and then that's impossible. V'chol she'yesh l'gufu kezalas of God, if one were to think that God were physical, he would have to, at the same time, say that he's not infinite. Okay. All right. So therefore, lefichach, efshir, he concludes, efshir sheyia elechad. Right, so achdus Hashem is based, according to the Rambam, on the fact that what? That God is not physical. Okay, good. So here he says like this, v'omer sheyesham manig, so what is he saying? He's saying, I agree, there is a God. But the one problem, heim shnayim ayoser, he has a problem and he thinks of what? That they're more than one. Okay. Okay, fine. Now, take a look next. Va'omer sheyesham ribon echad aval shehu bal gufa bal tmona. Okay. Now the Rambam says a what? That he's one, but he's physical. Right? So basically, right, yeah. But that would seem to be, so what's the problem? It's the same thing, basically. I mean, the one that says, the one Ha'omer Shiyesha Mani Gavalin Shnayim Oyaser is basically, according to the Rambam, saying that God is physical. Because the Rambam explains before that in order to maintain that there are two, you must maintain the physical. Correct? So it's a repetition, basically. Because Ha'omer all he had to say to Rambam, all the Rambam had to say was, Ha'omer sheyesh shom ribon avolhu bal gufa bal tmura. That would take care of both of them. Alright? Because if he's saying shnayim, or yeser, he's saying that he's a gufa bal tmura, because that's what the Rambam says, that's the only way to say that he's physical is ipso facto saying that he's not echor anymore. I mean, that's correct. Right? So, it seemed to be repetition. Same thing. All he had to say was Omer Sheyesha Mani Gavalupa Gufutmuni. He could have left out the second one. Okay, because Shnayim or Yeser is the exact same thing. That's one question. Yeah. Well, if you want me to know the Iker, all you have to say is that I must know the Iker that God is not physical. That's all I have to say. And these two guys are going to be lost. Of course, either way, that's the Iker. By the way, the Rama, he's not the philosopher, is right, but that's a tragedy. That's it. Look what the Rama says. The Rama says, Ve'elu hein she'ein lohem chelek lolam abo, right before, ela nechrosin v'ovdin v'nidunin al godel risham v'chatasam. Sounds like the Rama is describing a horrible individual, right? Godel risham v'chatasam, that's not enough. Lo'olam ulo'olme olamet. Okay? Can't say anything worse about a human being, right? Who is that person? Ha'omer sheyesh ribon echad aval gufa tmura. That's basically what I'm saying. That is the height of rishis. And chait is this mistake. This little mistake. Okay? This little mistake, according to the Rambam, is the height of rishis and chait. Amazing thing. He's needed lo'olam. What are you doing? This terrible thing. I mean, it doesn't sound like this terrible thing. You made a mistake. Okay. But apparently in the system of Yahadus, a lack of yediyah is the height of rishis. It's an amazing thing. See what Ram says? It's an unbelievable thing. A lack, an innocent, what people today, in today's society, we call it an innocent lack of knowledge. Didn't know? No, he's a Rasha Marusha, he's Nidu La'olam al-Ole al-Lamim al-Godul Chatas of Risha. Okay? That's what Ram says. That's a good point. Saying the order should be reversed at least. At least he should say, he should have first that he says about Gufat Mun, and then he should have after that he say, Heim Shnayim Yesar Shnayim. That's right, because you're right, that's a good point. That the order should be reversed at least. Okay. Alright, next one is, Shehomer She'eno Levado Rishon V'tzul HaKol. Okay, so there already maybe he could work, I mean, I don't know, whatever. He's not alone. He's not alone at Tzul HaKol, but there's something else that exists eternally besides. Okay, we're familiar with certain philosophers. Okay, that's the minute. But then V'chein Ha'oved Kochav O'mazel V'zuloso K'delios Melitz Beino Uvein Ribon Ha'olamim. This one seems to be completely out. What does this got to do with the first ones? The first one seemed to be a chasaran in yediyah of an ikar. Let's forget about our questions. But the first ones seem to be chesaron and ikar yediyah, which is what she'ein shom eloka, they know a manig, or he says yesham yesal shnayim, or he says that it's yeshi b'necha bal gufa tzmon. This is yediyah sabore per se, okay? Or the fourth one, ain't a levado rishon. There's something else that exists eternally. There's a matter perhaps that exists eternally. Whatever it might be, fine. But this at least you can relate a little bit. But this last one, this fifth one, doesn't sound like it has to do with the other thing. He says he agrees with everything above, namely that he denies all those premises. He's in full agreement with the denial of the four previous premises, and he agrees with the Yahadis. But he has one thing. He serves a Melitz. He goes to a Melitz. I don't know. What is that Melitz? Whatever it might be. Whether it's a person, or whether it's a Malach, or whatever it might be. So first of all, I mean, again, you see, according to Ram, that's like Godel, Rishav, Achatasov, Nidl, Olam. Why? Because he decided to go to a Melitz and ask him to please do me a favor and be a Melitz Yosher before God. Just saying. He's Oved. I understand. He's Oved. He's Oved, but the nature of his Oved is in the framework. That's the framework of course, he has to do avoda. It's correct, but what's the nature of his error? He simply is looking for somebody to speak on his behalf. That's his objective. This person is the worst Russia in the world, and he's needing all the money. That's what the Ram says, basically. Okay, but besides that, I mean, the point is, what does it have to do with the previous ones? Over here, it would seem, if you're going to tell me Ikarim, so the Iker, he has the Iker. Yes, Dick. Yesham Watsirish. He's not Shnayim. Yes, or Shnayim. He's Ein Abal Gufa Tmuna, and there's nothing else besides him. Okay, fine. But he makes it. What does that have to do? It seems that doesn't do it. Okay. Well, to my now let's take a look. If you were to break this up, you'd say the first area has to do this Shem. Then Avoda. Who do you do Avoda? It's a separate thing. Okay. It seems to be the larger separate thing. Okay. Now take a look at the next one is Shloshahin Hanikroim Apikursim. Okay? Ha'omer She'ein Shem Nevoa Klal, that's one. Person denies the institution of Nevoa. Ve'ein Shem Mador Shemagia Me'abore L'Lev B'nei Adam. There's no knowledge transmitted from God to man. Okay? Va'makhish, that's part of two. Correct? Part of one, yes, the first one's the one, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, what that's doing in there, Stam, I don't know, but okay. It seems either it's the same thing, it should have been under the first one, but apparently it's a separate one. Excuse me? One second. V'omer, just a second. V'omer she'ein ha-bore yodea ma'aseh b'nei adam kol echad n'shlosh she'elu hena p'kosim. So how are you breaking up the three? Two is makfus mazman, and three is ha'omer she'ein ha-bore yodea ma'aseh b'nei ha-adam. Okay? Now over here again, if I were categorizing, I would have put that with the one, with the mina. Because that's something that has to do with the essence of God. He's saying that God is not omniscient. God doesn't know everything. He's not all-knowing. That's what he's saying, basically, right? So that would seem to me would belong in one, certainly more than someone who is Doresh Meilitz. I mean, right? You understand? Okay. It's interesting. I wouldn't give him the honor of calling him an Apikaris. I'd call him a Min. It's much worse. And so we say they're all matzdik as a din. So that means he stands before God, and God explains to him what he is, and he comes to the realization of what his status is. Okay? So it doesn't matter across an oven, he's defined under certain categories. And min, and apikaris, and kaf b'Torah. Okay. Kaf b'Torah, fortunately, doesn't present too many problems. It seems to be pretty uniform. Okay, Shein HaTorah Meim Hashem, Afilu Pasuk Echad. Okay, Chenekov BePirusho. That's good. And then what's the last one? Is okay, Bar Hichlof Mitzvazu. Fine, but basically, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's very hard to unify those. Kaf Batar is good, but the first one's the Minim, and then the Apikorsim, you have a problem with. And it would seem, according to the Ram, the Apikoros has all the first things down pat. I mean, all those five things. He's completely in agreement with those five. I mean, he has no problem with those. Where is he? Where is his problem? A separate problem. He's not so sure about Nevoah, okay? Or Nevoah Sishmosh Rabbeinu, all right? Or Einakar's brother that was problem. But anyways, that's, you understand what I'm saying? The worst category is the category of men. So I understand why that he put in a separate halacha. Okay. All right, let's go backtrack now. Let's go back to the Hilchus Yisrael Torah. Let's start from there, I think. The reason why the Rambam says, Ein Shom Nevua Klal, the Ein Shom Mada HaMagia Me'aborei Al B'nei Adam, because, you see, that could be two different things. In other words, as the Rambam says already in Hilchus Yisrael Torah, there's two types of Nevua. One type of Nevua is Nevua that a person has a certain mission. Person sent by God on a certain mission. But there's another kind of nevuah that has to do with the personal increase in knowledge. So that's around Perek Zion Alach Zion. Hanavi Efshe Shatir Nevuasa La'atzmo Bilvad La'achiv Libo La'osif Daito Atche Yeda Mashalo Hoy Yodea Me'os Nadvar Magdol. So that's already Ein Sham Mada Shemagia Me'abaral B'nei Adam. And my Ram is referring to this. Okay, if he denies this. But then he says, the Efshisha Yeshulach La'am Me'am Me'ahor, it's a lan she'ir mamlocha lachonus and la'diyah mashiyasa. So that would seem to be Nevuah. Nevuah klal means two things. Two different types of Nevuah. Okay? Sometimes Nevuah involves a shlichus, sometimes Nevuah involves a diyah. That's what the Rambam says. Two types of Nevuah. Okay, the two types of Nevuah, that point comes up in Navi Sheker. It's an interesting thing. By a Navi Sheker, Navi Sheker is not one that maintains that he received knowledge from God when he didn't. Okay? Navi Sheker is only in the second category of Nevoah, where he maintains Shlichus. Interesting thing. Because the Pasuk says, really. Because the Pasuk says that, Yeshe Daber Dava B'Shmi Esa Shelo Tzivisev. So it's always a Tzivoy. He must, the Navi Sheker is one who presents himself fraudulently as a Navi. If he's a fraud at being a Navi, that's not Chayav Misa. He says, look, I received this tremendous knowledge and this Ayidei Nevuah, and he's an absolute liar. We could prove he's a liar. He's still not a Navi Sheker. Okay? Navi Sheker is that I received the Shlichus Mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then if it's Sheker, then it's Chayav Misa. It's an interesting thing. It always has to involve Shlichus. Okay, that's it. And you'll see that all it happens to be true psychologically. Because every time you have historically a Navi Sheker, it's never an intellectual fraud. There is never a person that says that I received a certain Nevuah B'chalom HaLaila, that this and such is true. They never say that. It's always a shlichus. Always. The emotion, the Navi Sheker is a certain kind of an emotion. And the emotion is always involved shlichus. Because that's what the emotion is. The nature of the emotion is that he is a shlich Hashem. That's the thing. Not that he misrepresents himself as a Navi when he's not. Okay, that's not the emotion. That's a separate thing. That's an intellectual, arrogant egomaniac. But that's not a Navi Sheker. Okay. It's an amazing thing how carefully those mitzvahs are classified. Because each one is classified according to a certain nature of man. Interestingly. Okay. Yesoda Yesodos Va'omer HaChachmos Leda Sheyesham Motzi Rishon. Okay, it's an amazing thing, but as soon as the Rambam said that this is Yesoda Yesodos and Omer HaChachmos, everybody closed the Sefer. It's an amazing thing. He says this is the Yesoda Yesodos, and not only that, but it's the Omer HaChachmos. That means if you don't have this clear, so then there's no Chachma or anything, basically. Because you don't have the foundation, means if you pull down the foundation, the whole structure collapses. So it means a person that doesn't have this idea clear, basically, has no Sheikhus to Chachma. Alright? But no one on the whole, people wouldn't seem to be interested in investigating any further. What exactly, that was it. They didn't go any further. V'hu mamtzi kol nimtza. Okay, so what is Rambam saying basically? Okay, in the first halacha. So what is he saying? Okay. So, and why is it really? Why is it the Yisrael Yisrael Shalom Nachachas? Why is that so? Because it means that a person must say, when he sees the order in the universe, that this order that he sees is not just haphazard, but it's the source of an existence which designed the order. And it means that, excuse me? God is the source. This is the source. So, in other words, that he must recognize that this existence is the source of the order that he sees, and this existence is the designer of the order. Correct? Okay. So that means that anything that you see is a result of the chachma of the designer. So then you're committed with that concept, the person's committed to chachma. Otherwise, if a person just looks at the universe and just basically what he sees, so he has an option. He could say, look, I see an order, the order's there. But if the order's just there, then it's not necessary that there's chachma behind the order. I don't know why the order's there. It happens to be there. Whatever. Okay? So if a person has that concept, so then the person is devoid of a commitment to real, true commitment to chachma. So a commitment to chachma means that when the person looks at the order, he recognizes that there's something beyond the order, okay, that is the designer of the entire system that he observes. So then he's committed to what? To Chachma, because it means that this is a design. A design means from the Chachma of the source, which is God, correct? And that's why he's committed to that's why it's Amar HaChachmos. That's what the Rambam means, okay? Omer HaChachmos, because there are many Chachmos, but they all are unified ultimately. That's what it means. And the ultimate pillar of all the unification of all the Chachmos is this existence, God. That's what he's saying. Okay? What the Rambam means to say is a genuine apikaris. Okay, we call him apikaris. Okay? Is not the Rambam's category. So a person that's an atheist or an agnostic, basically, must ipso facto deny chachma, because he must say what he sees. He sees chachma sometimes. He doesn't see chachma, but he has to be a denier of chachma, basically. So if he denies the existence of God, You understand? Then he must ipso facto deny Chachma. It's an amazing statement of Rama. That's what he's saying. Okay. Yeah, because once you deny God, so then you can easily, then what do you see? You see an order. So you see Chachma, yeah, but maybe I see Chachma here, maybe it's haphazard. And maybe if I go further, I'll see the whole thing is not based on Chachma. I say the whole thing's crazy. Okay? Maybe it appears to me like Chachma on the surface. But I go deeper, I find it's all haphazard. Follow? That's the reason. Now, Yesoda Yesodos means in terms of existence. And Omura Chachmos means it is the underlying principle of all Chachma. That's what the Rambam is saying. In terms of existence, the foundation of all foundations is God. I mean, that's what it means. But in terms of existence. But it's also the pillar, this idea of God is the pillar of all Chachma. Because if you deny God, you ipso facto deny Chachma. That's what the Rambam says. That's a straight out statement. That's the beat of it. That's why any scientist, a scientist who denies God, is caught immediately in a contradiction. Okay? Logical contradiction. Because what is he pursuing? Maybe it's all crazy. Next question may find out the whole thing is just crazy. What gives him that conviction? That it has to, it must, of course, make sense. Logical. Yeah, that's right. It's not enough. That's correct. In other words, it's not enough to say, according to Yehadis, if a person would just say, Yesoda Yesodos, that's what most people would say. Most people say Yesoda Yesodos. Okay? I agree that God is the source of all existence. Fine. But Omer HaChachmos, that's really a different... But the Rambam unifies them both. Apparently the Rambam holds that they're interdependent. That if you just say Yesoda Yesodos without Omer HaChachmos, then you're lacking in the concept of Yesod Yesodos. That's they're both. You have to say them both in the same statement. If you're missing one, you're missing the other. Of course, you're missing Yesodos, obviously. But in the reverse also, if you're missing the idea of Omer HaChachmos, then you're lacking in the concept of Yesod Yesodos. Because what is Yesod Yesodos? That's, you know what I mean? The concept of the Yesod is going to be lacking unless you understand that it's also Omer HaChachmos. Okay? All right, think about it. Yeah, the Ram says in the Maran Rucham, God is called intellectus. He has all the, right? Has to be in the vein of Chachma. Has to be along, has to be, the perception is not going to, what I'm saying is that the perception of the Yesod can only be approached via the medium of Chachma. Without that medium, the Yesod is going to be corrupt. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? So the Ram says in the Maran, God is called intellectus, the source of knowledge. Otherwise, it's going to wind up with some kind of a kshama, so to speak, in the back of his mind, I mean, overtly, but the only route is through perception. In other words, a person that doesn't know, let's put it this way, a person that's devoid of all chachma really has a problem with Yesod Yesodos. Okay? I'm not classifying it, whatever, I mean, that's, I mean, God has done everybody, but he's going to have a problem. Because since it says Yesod Yesodos, woman of chachma, so it means the person must have access to chachma. He doesn't have any access to Chachma. What kind of Amar Chachma is? He doesn't know what Chachma is. He certainly is not going to have any concept of Amar Chachma. So a person must have, in order to be a Maimon, according to the Rambam, a person must have had some experience with Chachma. I mean, without the experience of Chachma, he doesn't understand what Rambam means Amar Chachma. What's Amar Chachma? He doesn't know what Chachma is to begin with. Okay? So he must know what Chachma is. Doesn't mean on the highest level, but some level he must have a level of Yedias HaChachma, and then he can understand what it means Amar HaChachmas. Okay. Yeah, let me ask you. I'll ask you one more question, and we'll stop. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll finish it tomorrow.
Smart.
Right, now take a look at the Rambam, and then now the Rambam goes up and back. Of course, I mean both ways. I'm not going to Vimyal al Das Shehuena Matsui. He explains what that means. Okay, fine. Vimyal al Das Shein Kol Somu Vado Matsui Hulavado Yematsui. Okay, his existence is not contingent on their existence, but on the contrary, their existence is contingent on his existence. Okay, fine. That's explaining, elaborating precisely what he means by Matsui Rishon. By the way, the word Rishon in the Rambam, I can't prove it. But I don't think when the Rambam says Shiyesha Motsui Rishon that he's referring over here to Brias Shemayim Varetz. Okay? I don't think so. I mean, I'm not saying for certain 100%, but somehow I sense that what Rishon over here means is not first in order, but first in essence. Do you understand what I mean? So the word, primary. That's right. That's what I think it means. I can't prove it, but because that, in other words, of course, I do have a way of proving it, okay? In other words, the question is like this. Let's say a person did not believe in creation. Would the Rambam say that he's in violation of this principle? It's important to know. Okay, of course, one put everybody in Ganem. One category. For a lot of people, just one category of Ganem, that's it. But if you want to look at it logically, you have to ask a question. Let's say, for instance, a person does not believe in creation, but he believes in God. Okay? I don't think the Rambam would exclude him from this first halacha. Yesoda yesodos va'omar ha-chachmos, leida she'yesham motzi rishon does not mean a creator. Okay? Motzi rishon means a primary existence. That's a rishon means rishon in terms of existence. V'hu mamtzi kol nimtza, he explains. That's what it means. Okay? Mamtzi kol nimtza is what motzi rishon means. Okay? I could prove it, basically, from the Rambam himself. Why? Because Aristotle did not believe in creation, and the Rambam says that he reached the level of Chachma, that's the highest level that man can reach, one stage less than Nevoah. So the Rambam is Amar HaChachmas. You tell me that that Aristotle was lacking, he didn't believe in creation, so therefore you're going to say that he lacked the Amar HaChachmas. How could he be on the level of Chachma that's one stage below Nevoah? So that's why I say the word Motzi Rishon in the Rambam does not mean first in terms of order of existence. It means primary, Motzi Rishon, primary existence. And everything that exists only exists because of that existence. That's what it means. But it makes sense logically, besides, I'm proving it from the, but it makes sense logically because it says Amar HaChachmas. No, she doesn't say anything about creation. Ram doesn't mention about creation. Creation is a separate thing. Separate. Okay, yes, good question. What? Good question. V'chol ha'emtsoyim, he said, v'chol ha'emtsoyim mishamayim v'oretz u'mashe b'nehem lo nimtzu elo me'amitas hi motz'o. So he's asking, why did Ram have to add that? Because he already said, hu mamtzi kol nimtzu. Right? Follow? Why does Ram say v'chol hanem tzoyim mishamayim v'aretz lo nimtzu ela me'amitas hi motz'o? Yeah, why do you have to add that? What he means is like this. What the Rambam means is that it's not enough for a person to just believe it in abstract. Say anything that exists exists from God. It means he must have studied the observable world and know the observable world insofar as he can grasp it, and know that that grasp of the observable world is directly traceable to God. That's what it means. You see? That's what he's saying. It can't be just an abstract, according to Rambam, person. Yeah, everything's from God. Not good enough. He must know the observable world, everything, that's the observable world. He must know it, and he must in his mind link that which he observes to the source, which is God. It must be a practical link also. If it's just an abstract, everything's from God, that's apparently lacking in his Yisodos. Again, it demands a certain amount of Chachma. Certain amount. Doesn't mean he has to be the greatest astronomer, but it has to be some contact with the observable world and some kind of a knowledge. If he doesn't have any knowledge, this is meaningless. Okay, do you follow? That's what the Rambam said. It must be, actually, what it must be really, is from the observable world traced back. You see? Okay? You follow? Because what does a person see first? What does a person see? A person has a mind, he has senses, and he studies, like Adam, he starts studying the observable world. And then he must see the observable world as a source. Source is non-observable. Source is God's true existence. Okay? You see, God's truth is that's why they use me'amitas hi motz'o. See, take a look at the Rambam as a funny definition of the word emes. Take a look. He says like this. He says, v'myala, and Allah again, v'myala das she'en kol emtsoyim uvada o metsuyim, hu levada yi emotsu. Okay, then he says like this. Shekhan San Srichon Lo, Vubarchu, Eino Tzorach Lohem, Velo Echad Mehem, Lefichoch, Ein Amitoso, Kamitas Achad Mehem. What is Ein Amitoso? Hushan, in the end of the book, Hushan Novi Omer, Vadashem Elokim Emes. Okay, what is Hashem Elokim Emes? It should be Hashem Elokim Osa Emes, Dover. No, Hashem Elokim, Hu Levado Ho Emes, Vain Laacha Emes Kamitoso. Okay, so what does it mean? What does Ram mean? It means that God in a person's mind must be associated with the idea of the real. You see? You follow me? In other words, when for instance a person sees this table, he has a sense that it's real. When he studies what the composition of it is, he sees that's not real. That's just appears to the senses. But what's real is something quite different. The subatomic world is a different reality. Okay? So the more knowledge a person gains, the more he's in contact with the real. The surface is the surface phenomena, not real. They're apparitions. They appear to be real. But then when you study them, you say, yeah, it's not real. The leaf looks green, but it's not really green. Okay? On the contrary. It's reflecting the green, and it's absorbing the other color. So the knowledge puts a person's mind in contact with the world of the real. What a person must understand, according to the Rambam, is that God's reality is that God is the only thing that is truly real. And his reality is different than any other reality. So he must have a concept of the real. Again, according to the Rambam, it requires a certain root of chachma in order to be able to perceive these ideas. But it means a person must be in contact with the counterfeit and the real, and he must know that that concept extends to God in a certain way, which God is the only real, the only thing that's real. So he must have a concept of the real, which demands a certain involvement in Chachman, and that experience, it's not just an idea, it's a certain kind of experience. It's a scientist, a baseball player has one kind of experience, a scientist has a different kind of experience. Okay? So there must be a certain experience where a person senses this is the real, and then he must know that God is the ultimate real. Along that line. Excuse me? Well, yeah, that's of course, because the existence of Yibba Nodidia, but that's very simple, because the existence of the soul, okay, is only a caused existence. It's a different kind, that's why it's not real. That's why it's not truly real. The truly real is God. That's what he says. Everything the Rambam is saying is the same, but it's different. In other words, it's the same, but it's different roots that you have to see it from different facets. See, according to the Rambam, the idea is not complete in the human mind unless you see it from different facets. Okay? He has to know Matzah Rishon. He has to know the idea that it's traceable from the observable world. He has to know Chachma, the source of Chachma. He has to have a concept of the real. The Rambam is spelling out all the elements. If one of these elements are not in line, he's missing. Yeah, I don't know if he'd call me, he wouldn't call him Karis quickly, but he's missing the Yisrael Yisrael. Okay? Take a look at Halacha Hay, and this is probably why people close the Rambam Sefer, which is a Motzi Azehu Olekei Olam Adon Kalorets V'amane Gagagol B'koach She'en Lo Keitz V'tachlis. Okay? B'koach She'en Lo Hefzik She'agagol Tzoviv Tomud V'yef She'she Yisov B'lo Mesabeh. Okay, so this was based upon the old astronomical system, which was they could not explain the motion of the planets, but once Newton came along, he showed that this is not true. There is no that's simply on the contrary. Things are not really moving around. They're in a state of inertia. Okay, fine, it's good. Yeah, but the point is that the Rambam was functioning under the old physics. But it is a total error to think that because his physics was different, that his concepts in terms of Yahadis were wrong in any way. Chas v'shalom. Anyone that maintains that simply denies all concept of Mount and Tarmacina. Mount and Tarmacina wasn't given with a physics book. Okay? So the mistake of a lot of people, when they see that, they run away from the Rambam, is a total mistake. They just don't understand how to separate out the concepts of the Rambam and the physics, which happens to be a phenomena that's a part that he used in a certain way with the Yesodos, but there's no problem in substituting today's physics for the old physics. That's not the essence of the Rambam, okay? All right. So, apparently the Rambam holds that, and this goes back to his idea that the concept must be traceable from the observable, which apparently the Rambam maintains that in order to have a true concept of Yesodi Yesodos, it must be real to you from the observable world, which means the Rambam demands that you must be able to look at the observable world and see that it is impossible that it should be self-explanatory. And if you don't see that, then you're lacking in the Yesod Yesodos. The Rambam used the physics in his day, because in his day, that seemed to be an impossibility. So he said that you see from the planetary, from the revolution of the planets, that God exists. Okay? Because it cannot be explained without a force. Okay? Now, so that I said, that of course was the old physics. But the Rambam's principle still is true. The Rambam's principle is a yesod in the dust. Namely, as we, just to elaborate, he's elaborating on his previous theme, namely that you have to be able not just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Motzi Rishon, he's Mamtzil Cholimtzai, that's not enough. You have to be able, where, what? You have to show from the world, from the universe. Okay? That's what the Rambam's theme is. And Rambam apparently holds that you must see from the universe that it's not possible to be self-explanatory. That's what he holds. He used the science of his day. He couldn't possibly know that that's not so. But that's not important. The important thing is that according to the Rambam, that in order for the idea for the human mind to have a grasp of the idea, it must be based on the human mind's encounter with the external world, and from the external world, the conclusion must be drawn. You see? So that means that in today's scientific world, you must be able to do the same thing if you want to complete what the Rambam is saying. Namely, it doesn't have to be through the planetary system. It could be through the expansion of the galaxies. Okay? That would be today's substitution for the Rambam's planetary system. Okay, but it doesn't make any difference. The Rambam is not interested in teaching you physics. Basically, he's telling you a halacha. The halacha is that in order for a person to be considered a maimon, it must be supported from scientific knowledge. Okay, that was scientific. What is scientific knowledge? Scientific knowledge does not mean the ultimate truth. Okay, the ultimate truth is only God knows. You follow what I mean? Scientific knowledge is human knowledge. Human knowledge changes as man advances. That's not a problem. But is it scientific? Did the Rambam have scientific knowledge about the revolution of the planets? Yes, absolutely. That qualified perfectly as scientific knowledge, because in his time, that was fine. Is scientific knowledge is knowledge that the human mind arrives at through a certain process. Doesn't have to do with the fact that he didn't have a big enough telescope. Doesn't make it unscientific. You follow what I mean? But the Rambam's principle, I spoke about it once before, the Rambam's principle is that these yediyas are not considered really yediyas unless they're supported by a scientific observation. In other words, a person must be able to see, and by the way, this will always be true. Because since the ultimate source of reality is God, so in any generation of science, the universe is never going to be self-explanatory. That's the premise of God. Okay? So it's always going to be true. The only thing is that you're going to be, there's different bumps along the way, so to speak. You'll see if your knowledge is limited here, then you'll see it from there. As your knowledge expands, you see it from somewhere else. But it's always going to be that way. Has to be that way. Okay? The particular physics phenomenon doesn't make a difference. You understand what I'm saying? It means that this idea is always going to be that way, no matter what generation you're in, because the universe is not self-explanatory. So you're always going to arrive at a point where you're going to say there must be another existence. Now, what that particular thing you arrive at, it depends on the era you live in. But as long as it's scientific knowledge, you see, then the conviction is considered a correct conviction. You understand? In other words, the purpose of the scientific knowledge is that the conviction should have a certain place in a human being's mind, not just God created, God's of everything, God created everything. That's not good enough, you see. It must be secured in the mind through an encounter with the external world. That's what the realm is basically saying. Okay? Today, the phenomenon would be the spreading galaxies. Okay, that points clearly. It's not self-explanatory. That immediately shows it's not self-explanatory. You understand what I'm saying? To my mind, that's what the Ram would say. I mean, I can only conjecture, but I'm saying, I would say that's what the Ram would say today. Instead of the motion of planets, it's the fact that the expanding galaxies shows that it's not self-explanatory because it came from one source, and that's it. Okay. Because you must come from your pursuit of knowledge, you must come to a certain conclusion. The conclusion is that this thing, what we call the universe, cannot be an ultimate existence. It cannot be explained without another existence that is more real, that is the existence of existence, the existence behind all existence. That's it. And you have to be able to see it and show it. That's what the Ram is. That's the halacha of the Ram. If you can't see it, you can't show it, through scientific knowledge, then you aren't mekayem the mitzvah. That's what the Ram holds. The Ram, and as I said, every generation is going to see it. Because it's never going to be self-explanatory, because God is the source. But every generation is going to have a different point where it's going to appear through scientific knowledge to be non-self-explanatory. That point doesn't matter. You can only go by the science of your day. That's not the point. The point is that the idea must be secured through what a human being considers scientific knowledge, which means not an emotional way of thinking, but according to his mind. But obviously, scientific knowledge is not what is true, because what is true is God's knowledge. Scientific knowledge means a certain approach and certain parameters. True or false, if something's false, doesn't mean it's not scientific knowledge. It's scientific knowledge. Now I have a bigger telescope, I have to change my formula. It doesn't mean the previous thinking was not scientific thinking. You understand? But that's what the Ram is saying, yes. But of course, you see, we have to also understand, you have to understand this. That what a person grasps scientifically. See, you have to understand that what is the idea, I mean, the whole idea of a person, of a human being perceiving God is, of course, a very limited thing, because, I mean, we're only human beings. I mean, we have a very limited ability. But it means insofar as our essence is capable of it. That's obviously what it means, okay? Now, so what I mean to say is like this, that A human being, scientific knowledge is always placed in a certain category of the human mind. All right? Now, my point is this. My point is that if you would go back to the time, to the pre-Galilean Newtonian period, okay, there was just as much of a sense of security about their science as we have about our science. Our science might change just as drastically as their change. It's only human arrogance that maintains that we have finally arrived at the ultimate thing. They had that. You understand what I'm saying? But my point is this: that scientific investigation and knowledge gives a human being a certain conviction, and he's entitled to that conviction. Don't get me wrong; he's entitled to that conviction. It's a conviction that he must have based upon his internal structure of his mind, not just arrogance. Okay. It's arrogance if he doesn't see the idea that he may be just as far from the truth as the previous generation. That's arrogance. But the sense of conviction that arrives from scientific investigation is really built in man from God. I mean, that man has, when he says his mind grasps something, or he sure grasps it, is a certain conviction that must follow. If he didn't have that, nobody would even pursue science, because that's what a person is looking for. You see? But that's a human phenomenon. The Rambam is simply saying that the Yedias Hashem has to be in terms of the ultimate human phenomenon. That's what he said. Which is the scientific phenomenon. So it means to say that it That's what I'm trying to show you, that people ran away from the Rambam. It was a big mistake, because they saw that he mentioned something that had to do with the fact that that's not the Rambam's not a book of faith. Rambam's a safer on what exactly Yedias Hashem is. And that is exactly right. Doesn't make sense which example he uses, you see. But the concept that the Rambam is saying is that through whatever is scientific knowledge of Adam at that time, he has to, that conviction has to be linked to that. See, it's not important what the particular thing is. It has to do with how it's embedded in his mind. And it's embedded in his mind in a certain way when it comes from a certain kind of knowledge. That's what the Rambam is saying. Obviously, he can't get the right thing. Only God knows the ultimate knowledge. But if it's embedded in his mind due to this process, then it doesn't matter which generation, it's the same thing. He relates to the idea, to the concept in the same manner. It doesn't make any difference whether the Rambam, if the Rambam would know, for instance, with the Galilean and the Newtonian revolution. Okay, and now he would relate, instead of what he wrote here, he'd write about the expansion of the galaxies. That doesn't make any difference in the SHM, same exact thing. In terms of the idea being embedded in his mind, there's no difference. As long as it's through scientific knowledge. That's what the Rambam is saying, basically. But this thing will always be true in every generation, but it'll take on a different form. But the individual who lives in any generation, doesn't matter what generation he lives in, as long as his mind is a mind of Chachma, and the processes of Chachma relate him to God, that's what a Maimon is. That's it. The particulars of Chachma, only God knows the ultimate particulars. That's irrelevant. You understand what I'm saying? It's the pursuit of Chachma and the appreciation of Chachma and how the idea of God relates to his world of thoughts, that is important. That's what the Rambam is saying, basically. You understand? Okay. It's the scientific element is not a revelation in terms of the abstract idea. You see, it is simply a link. It's a necessary linkage to the human mind. And that particular thing that's the link doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's always going to change. You know? There's two things. There's the perception of the idea of Motzei Rishon. That's one thing. And then there's the way that idea must be embedded in the human soul. How? Where? Not just like I said before. The person who says Motzei Rishon doesn't mean anything. Okay? I can't say it means anything. It's something. But it's not what the Rambam's looking for, what the Rambam's qualifications are. Okay? But the qualifications do not have to do with the particular scientific knowledge. It has to do with the framework of the human mentality, the scientific mentality. And the Torah gave a mitzvah, which will always be true in every generation, but it's going to assume a different particular. But that doesn't matter in terms of the Gavra's concept of Motzei Rishon, same thing. You follow? The idea that the universe is self-explanatory sphere. If you should be living in an era when science, like the Newtonian era, when science concludes that they have the universe and it's self-explanatory, we know from the Torah that it cannot be true. There's something missing here. That's the only thing you can do. That's the only thing. And knowledge will be lacking. You can't do anything about it. But that's a kind of a question. That's a kind of a question that we human beings just can't answer. The same kind of question is, why is a person born over here, born in a situation of this another person wasn't. This is I can't explain that. I can't answer that question. But there was an era like that. There was an era like that, and unfortunately, we're not living there. But if an individual lives in that era, he has to know. That's one thing that from Torah you can really know science. You could know that is wrong. There's something wrong with the science. Okay? That's interesting. That's correct. That's correct. I mean, it's very similar to the position of the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, where every scientist was against creation, okay? And the Rambam said, that's it, they're all wrong. Because Bereishis Bara Elokim, Hashem Elokeinu Ha'aretz, they're all wrong. And because of HaMesorah, because not just the Pasuk, because the Pasuk can explain, but because of HaMesorah, the Nevim, whatever. So basically what the Rambam says is that you must be able to go from the finite to the infinite. From the observable world, you must have a direct route to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source of all existence, the real existence. And that's what the Rambam says, Eino Movado. Eino Movado, the Rambam interprets, plain. It means there's nothing real besides God. That's what it means. There's nothing real besides God. Okay. And the Rambam, by the way, supports everything from Tzom. Okay. So the Rambam is not just philosophizing, but he's saying that you must also know. You must know these ideas from the Masorah. These ideas are essentially ideas from the Masorah. Ram didn't just rely; it wasn't just based upon his own thinking, but it was based on the Masorah and supported from reality. That's the way the person must perceive it. He must have that knowledge. Now, the thing is like this. I saw some people didn't have to clear what I said yesterday, but I'm just going to try to rephrase it. What I said with regard to the Rambam's particular proof, which is not correct, as we in terms of modern science, we see that it's not correct. And I said it doesn't make any difference. My point was that the concept in the Rambam is not just for a person to say the idea. But it must be nitfas b'mocho in a certain type of a way, okay? Because here the Rambam is talking about the soul of man must have the idea embedded in it clearly. And therefore, part of that requirement is a knowledge from a scientific knowledge. And that's what I try to explain, that scientific knowledge is not ultimately true knowledge that only God has, but there is a level of chachma in man, and whether when science progresses, whether a particular scientific piece of information is found to be untrue, does not mean that the person at that time did not view that idea scientifically. So the scientific knowledge is a means for the idea to be nitfas in the person's mind. Okay, so that's why it does not make any difference whether the idea becomes obsolete, as long as at the time that the person existed, the idea related to the soul through that medium of scientific knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? That's the answer. That's right. In other words, it's the way the soul, the way the Tzelem Elokim is constructed, demands this kind of apprehension. This is a kind of apprehension that you must have, okay? And that's why it must be through scientific knowledge. Again, scientific knowledge, I mean, this is the point I think most people miss, that there's a difference between scientific knowledge and ultimate knowledge. Ultimate knowledge man will never have. Scientific knowledge, again, and in each generation there's scientific knowledge. Just like there was scientific knowledge in the generation of Avraham Avinu as well. Okay? Scientific knowledge is a chalos. Okay? Because you see, if you see a scientist, so what do you say? The other one's cholak mechachmas l'reyav. That's tamcha. It's So what are you going to say? That if someone made that bracha 800 years ago, then now you find out that the science became obsolete. It was a bracha l'vatala. It's absurd. Scientific knowledge is a certain kind of chalos. It's a certain kind of chalos. The material of the substance of the scientific knowledge changes with the generations, but not the scientific mind and not the scientific tfisa. You understand what I'm saying? They're not the phenomenon of science, of the scientific knowledge. A person, you understand what I'm saying? So therefore, what the Rambam is saying is it must be nitfas b'mocho in the framework of scientific knowledge. That's what he said. Okay? That's the idea. It's a legitimate function of the human soul. The scientific methodology and process is a legitimate function of the human soul. What objects it apprehends is a separate matter. That's exactly. It's the process, exactly. Because if you're going to say it's the knowledge, then no one ever has to know. That's it. So I one time gave a shiur. I gave another shiur on this. If you want to listen to the on the table, we discussed it in the concept of advances in science, and we spoke about, I think what it had to do with the Kruvim in the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken. And we spoke about what exactly scientific knowledge is. And scientific knowledge is man is in a constant state of approaching reality. But it's a state. The person, you can't differentiate much between a person. Well, you see, scientific knowledge progresses very, very slowly. Very, very slowly. You have the greatest minds for 2,000 years, and then they discover that the most basic tools, like time and space, are completely misunderstood. So you see, man's mind, the greatest minds, progress very slowly, very slowly. But that's why it's absurd to differentiate between in the terms of the ultimate scheme of things, the scientist from 100 years ago, from 200 years ago, 300 years ago, the difference in that scientist and the scientist today is very small in terms of the ultimate knowledge. It's like a small little step. See, I mean, we think it's big because we're standing over here. They think, now we have tremendous advance. But a deep scientist knows and senses that they're only scratching the surface of an unbelievable world of knowledge. So what man does is really like a little nothing. So there's no reason to differentiate, you understand, between the scientist of several hundred years ago and the scientist of today. In terms of the scope, the ultimate scope, it's a fractional. But is it a legitimate enterprise? The answer is yes. And it's legitimate in every generation because that's the Tzelem Elokim. That's the Tzelem Elokim. It's the function of the Tzelem Elokim. So basically what the Rambam is saying is that this Yediyas Hashem must be apprehended through this function of the Tzelem Elokim. Right. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? That's what the Rambam is saying. The fact that people are very impressed because of the physical changes, like you take a look at what there's now, a century ago, is amazing. Amazing. But that has nothing to do with the theoretical. That's just, as a matter of fact, that's a pasuk that the Vekiv Shuah, basically. That's part of the ultimate chachma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe in a way that man is able to make, unbelievable physical changes with very little knowledge. That's part of the chachma, the very structure of the whole entity. That's what gives sure. That's a gossip. That's what Bertrand Russell says. Amazing that we can do so much with the little that we know. See, I mean, we know so little and we can do so much. But that itself is part of the ultimate chokhmah sabaret. Okay, you know what I mean? Don't be impressed by the fact that by the technology. The fact that we have such technology is part of the very structure that man can do unbelievable advances in technology with very little real knowledge. That itself is part of the structure. Okay. The Rambam makes it clear, basically. You take, for instance, Halacha Hei, Hamotzui Hazer, Hu Elokei Ha'olam, Adon Kol Ha'aretz, Hu Amanig Agagol B'Koch Shein Lo Keitz V'Tachlis, B'Koch Shein Lo Hefzik, Shagalgal Sovev Tomid, Vief Shishayisov below Mesavev, Vahu Baruch Hu Amesavev Oso, below Yad or below Guf. So what is Rambam saying? Basically two things. That God is non-physical, okay, non-physical, we know God through the non, through the negative. And also that what? That he's infinite, okay? And infinite, you see the way the Rambam states the infinite in a negative way. Any locates of Tachlis. Okay, because the concept of the infinite is a tricky concept. People say the infinite, people think of a positive idea. It's negative. Elokates v'tachos. There's nothing, okay? So infinite and what? Non-physical. Okay, good. Fine, that's fine. Everything is fine up to this. Is beautiful. What? Okay. By the way, I mean, I have a chakira. The Rambam cites psukim here, right? And we said basically the Rambam is telling you that you have to understand this from every aspect. That's why it says Vim Yalala Das Shehuin Motzin Davracha Yachli Motzas. Okay, Vim Yalala Das Shein. You have to understand it precisely every all facets of the concept. Okay, the question I would ask is: let us say a person, let's say like an Albert Einstein, comes to the conclusion, the same conclusion, that God is non-physical, is infinite. Okay, fine. But he doesn't have the support from the Pesukim. Is he Mekayim the Mitzvah or not? In other words, the Rambam supports everything from Pesukim, which means that you must, that the source is basically according to Rambam, the Mesorah, the Pesukim, and then you must be able to support this from the Sinai, the proof of Sinai. Now, without Sinai, it's nice philosophy, okay, but perhaps, maybe that's not enough. I'm asking a question, Akira. Okay? So Avraham Avinu seems to be a raya that you don't, that a person does not need the support of someone. That's good. I'm just saying you need a raya for it. It's good raya. Okay. But the thing is, I would just qualify that with one qualification. That it depends on the level of the Tzelem Elokim. In other words, the idea demands a certain kind of apprehension by the soul. So it could very well be that a certain individual can apprehend the idea very clearly without the raya from the Masorah, but perhaps an average person would not be able to do that. I mean, I'm just saying it is not 100% clear. Because you see that there are requirements and stipulations over here, not just for a person to say the same Matsirisha. You know, like God created everything. That's not enough. So there are requirements, and that's a question. You see, it can be done from Avraham Avinu. It can be done. Okay. Let's go on a little bit further. The Yedias Dovah Zeh Mitzvah Seish Neiman Nefesh Hashem L'Kach. Now, so that's one mitzvah. Okay. Now he says, now you have a Rambam that is very, very ambiguous. B'chol ha'mala al daito sheyesho meloka acher chutz mizeh. Anyone that entertains the thought that there is another God besides this one, what exactly? Now that could have two meanings. It could mean he's identifying another God, which means, let's say he says he believes in a physical God, so that's not the description of the previous God. Okay? So therefore, that's not good. That could be one, alakacha, one meaning alakacha. But another meaning is alakacha chutz mizeh means that he believes in the God as described above, okay, but he thinks there's something else besides, another force. Okay? Another force, a sub-force, sub-God. It's difficult for the Lashon Rambam to say what exactly he means. I mean, the words is a double entendre. It can mean either way. But take a look at... Excuse me? In other words, either you could say he mean... The pasuk that he quotes would seem to mean the second word. Because he says... What does he say? He says, Shenema lo yilacha lehim acherem alponai. Alponai means in my presence. That means to say, beside, alongside me. Right? Alongside, okay? Yeah. Okay. So now you're going to have a little bit of a problem. Because if that's what the Rambam means, he's like this. He says, over below Sase, he says, the kofer bo'ikar, shezehu ho'ikar ha'godl sha'kol toliba. Now, if it means the second way, so why is it really, why if he believes that, is he a kofer bo'ikar? I mean, I say, no, he believes in the ikar, but he believes that this God, as described above, appointed or gave powers to another force. So why is he kofer in the entire ikar? Okay? All right? Understand the question? That's the question. Possibly, yilucho lehim acherem aponai, is really a description of Avodah Zarah, basically. That's the Avodah Zarah. The genuine of the Avodah Zarah believed in one God, but they had sub-deities. They worshipped sub-deities. Okay. So, that's my question. Now, let's leave that question alone, okay? Let's go further. Next halacha. Next halacha is Zion. Eloka ze echod hu ve'eno shnayim v'lo yeser al shnayim. Elo echod she'ein ki yichudo echod mino achodim hanemtsoim ba'orov. Lo echod kimin shu kol el achodim harbei, v'lo echod kiguf shu nechlek l'machlok asuluk tzavos. Okay. So he says, in other words, what the Rambam is saying is that there's two, we find in our mind perceives two types of oneness. One is in the world of ideas, and one is in the physical. In the world of ideas, you have a concept. Concept embraces many things. Okay. It's one concept. Okay. And then in the world of the physical, you have a substance. So the Rambam says God's oneness is not like either one of these. Okay, he's not one like a concept is one, because a concept is one, but a concept is intrinsically related to many things. And God's oneness is not related to anything. Okay? So it's a different kind of a universal is a universal that's drawn out of particulars. So the particulars are related to the universal. So the one is related to the many. But God is unrelated to anything. So therefore, his oneness is not like the oneness in the world of ideas, nor is it like the oneness in the physical world of substance. That's basically what Rambam is saying. Okay. Saying this like this, it's not like any like a oneness in the world of ideas or a oneness in the world of substance. Physical. That's what he's saying. Okay. Nicely like this. He says, but go for it. Like this. Now he goes into a proof, sort of. Ilu hoyu elohos harbe, if there were many, hoyu gufin ugrios, they would have to of necessity be what? Physical. Mibnei shein ha-nimnin ha-shoven b'mtzi uson, anything which is the same in essence cannot be separated, nifrodin, cannot be distinguished, zem izeh, cannot be distinguished one from the other, ele b'mo oroin shi'oro b'gufos v'gvios. So the only way you could distinguish between something that has one essence is by the fact that the essence exists in two physical entities. Okay? Vilu haya yotzer gufu gviyo, and if he were a gufu gviyo, haya lo keis v'tachlis, she'ef sheliyos guf she'en lo keis. Okay, so what is he saying? So, right? V'chol she'yesh lo gufu keis v'tachlis, yesh lo kocho keis v'sof. V'lo keino baruch shmo, ho v'kocho en lo keis, v'en a posik, sh'rea gagol sov v'tamid, again, infinite, en kocho koch guf. Okay. In other words, God is not subject to the category of quantity. Quantity is the most basic category after substance. Okay, every substance is subject to the category of quantity. God is not subject to the category of quantity. That's what he's saying. Okay. So, is there a question here or not? In other words, the question like this: how many mitzvahs are we discussing here? One or two? Take a look at the Caseras. Mitzvah achas leida sheyesham alakav. That's one. Mitzvah beis shelo yale b'machshava sheyesham alakav acher zulosi akadosh baruch. Two, three, gimel liyachada. Okay, so there's three mitzvahs. Three, not one. Three. Okay. So now you see the question. The first mitzvah demands what? The way the Rambam defined it, demands not, a person cannot be mekayim the first mitzvah if he thinks what? If he has in mind a physical substance. That's not God. That simply doesn't fill the requirement in any sense. That's it. He's finished. There's no sheikhs to the mitzvah, correct? Okay. And also the aspect of what? If a person believes that, which is basically tied to the same concept, the aspect of infinity, right? I mean, if a person thinks that God is finite, so then he's back in the same problem with the physical. That's not the mitzvah, okay? That's the Rambam already explained in the first mitzvah. So how could you have another mitzvah liyachado, which would mean I could be mekayim the first mitzvah without being mekayim the second mitzvah? It's an impossibility. Because if I'm a kind of the first mitzvah, that means I have to believe in God. It means the real God. The wrong description, that's not God. Certainly, lakacha zulaz the highest level. So therefore, it would seem that it's impossible, okay, it's impossible to be mekayim the first mitzvah and not to be mekayim the third mitzvah. So it's superfluous. What are you the third mitzvah for? The mitzvah of liyachado. Liyachado is basically Rambam's lush, exact same thing with the goggles of atonement, infinite and physical, same, the same thing. Okay? That's the problem. They're two distinct mitzvahs. If it were one mitzvah, I'd say fine. So the Rambam's elaborating, showing you, fine. But if it's two separate mitzvahs, that means you've got to show me that I could do one without the other. Now, how is it possible not to be mekayim the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem and simultaneously be mekayim the mitzvah of Sheyesh Malaka? Right? Okay. The Yediyas. Listen to the Rambam. The Yediyas Dovor Ze Mitzvah Sasei. See the Rambam says? He says after the first mitzvah. He says, in Halacha Vav, after the first mitzvah, the Yediyas Dovar Ze Mitzvah Sasei. And at the end of Halacha Zayin, V'yediyas davar ze mitzvah saseh. What does Ram mean? He means the knowledge of this proof is a mitzvah saseh. That's what he means. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if a person will say that God is non-physical and God is infinite, okay? But you'll ask him, can you prove to me that he's one? And he'll say, I can't prove it. He's not Mekayim Achdus. Yediyas Davar Zed, a Rambam is saying, this very proof, that's a mitzvah saseh. To understand the proof, and the proof is that you can't, that something, when you're discussing an essence that's non-physical, it's impossible to have more than one. That idea that the Rambam says, Yediyas Davar Zed, is mitzvah saseh. You must know that. That's how you keep the kind of the first mitzvah, not the second one. The third one, okay, right? You understand what I mean? The second I say. Because the halacha, and again, it's in line with what we said, with what we were saying, namely, that the mitzvah, these mitzvahs are not just not something that a person is mekayim with just a superficial thing, like you'll say, yeah, God created everything. That is not even, just God created everything is not, you can't call him a kofer, he's a maimon, but he's not mekayim the first mitzvah. And certainly not the second mitzvah, say, the third mitzvah, liyachado. You understand what I mean? So it means to say, what Ram means to say is, you must know this proof. You must know this proof. Hashem al-ken Hashem achad is another statement which has to be based on some kind of idea of knowledge. And if you don't have this proof, and you can't, and someone would approach you and ask you, and you can't answer, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. Okay? It's an interesting thing. First mitzvah mekayim? First mitzvah mekayim? First mitzvah is to be able to say that the observable world is traceable directly to an infinite source. Okay? Yeah, that's correct. But then if you say, well, I never thought, what about if that source can be one? I never thought about that. That's something I didn't go through. I don't think about that. Okay? You're kind of the first mitzvah. One of the kind of it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. But that's a vague statement. In other words, if he thinks about many gods, obviously it's not Mekayim the first mitzvah, because that's not God. Okay. But if he thinks about one God, but you ask him, can you prove it, he doesn't have anything to say. Never thought about it. It's a good point. Never thought about it. He's not Mekayim the first mitzvah. Okay? It's an interesting thing. Excuse me? He has to say there's one God. Yeah, it has to say. No, I wouldn't say it's not sure. No, he just can't prove it. What do you think? The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. Of course, you know he has a very similar. The two are one after another, obviously. First and second. He says, "Hu atzivu shetzivonu b'hamonas hayichud. Hu shenamin shepoel hametzios v'sibaso harishono echad." Ki hem omen kdeil kabel of malchus shamayim. Rotzalomar ha-hodo b'yichud v'hamonaso. It's an amazing thing, Ram. Okay? Avida Ram Sef Mitzvah, just telling you briefly that there is a mitzvah. He's a minion of mitzvahs. He's not telling you what it is. But he doesn't spell it out like he spells it out in the end. But he tells you the importance of the mitzvah. See, where his minion of mitzvahs tells you the importance of the mitzvah. Over here, telling you what it is. But over here, it's an interesting thing. What is it? It's an amazing thing. Al minas liyachid es shemi. Okay? And he says, "Chaol is Chazal." Rotsim b'zeh amaymar nachnu amlem hotzionu me'abdus v'aso imanu mashe osu v'chasonu v'tolos al tenai ha'amonas hayichud. Okay, ki anachnu mechuyovim b'zeh v'harbe mashe yomru mitzvah hayichud. V'ikur gam kenzos ha'mitzvah malchus shemayim. Ki emom k'de l'kabel lov malchus shemayim. Rotsalom ha'adol b'yichud v'manasa. Shema yisol shema kene shochad. That's a kabbalah. Amazing thing. What does it show you? Shows you that this second step of knowledge is real, and that's really the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. Because the Navi says the Navi says that Milo Yiracham al Hagayim, even Nebuchadnezzar had a guy. But Klal Yisrael is the only one that knows the proof of the Yichud, which means that's a separate step of knowledge. It means to say, not simply to say that you believe in one God, but to know the difference that's based upon the very notion of God, which by definition is differentiated from anything that we perceive in the universe. That step, that next step, only Klal Yisrael made. That's the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. That next step in thought. And that's Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. That's Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. It's an amazing thing. Kabbalah Samach, I mentioned many times, Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim is completely different than anybody would imagine. Because the Anima Kabbalah Latzmi, that would be Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. No. It's the concept of Yichud Hashem. That is the ultimate Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. That's an answer. It's clear from the Halacha. It means that idea, the knowledge of that idea, is something which puts an individual in a state of awe. And that's the greatest Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. It's an amazing thing. Is the rest of the world may have come to the idea of one God. Milo Yirocho Melech HaGoyim. Okay? But Klal Yisrael, not just a vague notion, it is worked out with the mind's eye viewing that concept in a way that it sees clearly that this idea of necessity means it's differentiated from any kind of accidents that befall the physical world, and essentially it has a oneness which we can't approach. That idea, Yediyas Davar Zemitzah say, and that's the uniqueness, according to the Rambam, of Klal Yisrael. It's an amazing thing, amazing concept, which is precisely, it's in line, it's sort of dragging out further, extending further the concept that we said yesterday. Namely, that the Rambam had an interesting perception of these mitzvahs. The Rambam's idea of the mitzvahs is not just facts. You see, the idea was the grasp of the soul, the apprehension of the soul of these concepts. That's the nature of the mitzvah. And that's why the first mitzvah, Leidashe Yeshem Alakam Otsui, and the second mitzvah, say, Yichud Hashem, are differentiated, separated into two different mitzvahs. Because the principle of the Rambam is that it's not simply reciting facts. That's Lahavdil Goyim have such a catechism. Huh? We don't have such an idea. It means the soul must apprehend it. And therefore, if a person is confronted with a question, this God, he could be the greatest scientist, And he could believe in he could believe that he sees from the universe, he sees that there must be an infinite source, a non-material infinite source. And you ask him, but is that source, is that one or two? I never thought about that. Then he's not, the apprehension is not there. There's no Yichud Hashem. It's an amazing thing. It means not just to know the idea, but it must be apprehended and thought about. The mind's eye must focus on it. And that's only Klal Yisrael. Only that's Almanas LeYachid Es Shemei. That's what Rambam is. An amazing Rambam. One mitzvah, that's simple. One mitzvah is Yediyas Dovar Zeh. Okay? That person knows it. But then there's a separate halacha to enunciate it twice a day. That's sometimes that's a ma'aseh mitzvah. It's a ma'aseh mitzvah. Different mitzvah. If you don't understand that, obviously you can't do it. That is Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly all the tefillos in Rosh Hashanah. The Yedek HaPorka Tofi Altev, and the Yavin Kod Yatsa Ketetza, all those, Al Kinnikav HaKadosh Hashem HaKadosh Hashem HaKadosh. It means these ideas. These are the ideas. Okay? And when a person apprehends that, then he has the true Yira. It says, okay, so up to that point you can say fear, right? But what does it say? Which means it must emerge. That's not fear. It's a different kind. It's an awe. It's a thing that pachtacho and more over there is yiras aromamus. By Kabbalah, yiras aromamus. That's what it means, Yisrael. It means that is the greatest Kabbalah. That's it. Okay. But that means that you must make the next intellectual step, which is the denial of the proof and the knowledge that God is intrinsically not subject to quantity. You must have that idea clearly embedded in your mind, and that is that's the mitzvah. That's the next step. You see, that step though is a very, very important step. You see? And the mind focusing on that idea gives it. That's the uniqueness of the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. According to Yahadus, no one can have the correct apprehension of God and not simply just conform with his will. It's impossible. It's impossible. Okay? In other words, the only reason you can have two triangles is because one triangle is over here, another triangle, one triangle is in this piece of wood, and another one is on that bridge. So you can have two triangles. You see? But you can't have two triangles, Rambam says, you can't have two triangles if it's not incorporated in the physical thing, because there's only one idea of triangle. So when you're dealing with a concept, it's impossible to differentiate. You can't differentiate one from the other unless it partakes of the physical. That's what it means. It's interesting. The Rambam proves that God's not subject to quantity, you see. But the first part of the Rambam, he just states it. Let's see. But the main idea of the Rambam is what the Rambam says. I'm not going to go any further. But the main idea of the Rambam is that the Rambam is saying that the idea is dovar zeh. It's what this knowledge of this halacha is the mitzvah zeh. It's interesting. Now the lav, there's only one lav, but there's two mitzvahs asay. And now you can see precisely why I had to be that way. Because the lav, you don't need more than one. Because the lav says very simply, the lav says, even if you believe that there, I'm saying the meaning of the Rambam is, la'yilacha le'machar al-panai. Even if you should believe in a sub-deity, that's it, you're kafir bigger. Because your thinking is corrupt. Follow? In the negative, you're going to be destroyed if you have the slightest imperfection. So that's why in the law you only need one. Even if you think that there is something else alongside God, that means your reasoning is improper, then that's it. You're kafir baker. But in the mitzvah saseh, you can have two. Listen, mitzvah asay is the positive apprehension of these ideas. So you can apprehend something, but you never thought about the next step. You see, it's a vague kind of intuitive knowledge, no good. You see? But in the negative, you only need one. Because the moment your thinking is distorted, then you're kafir baker. That's it. That means the area, if a person thinks, a person came to the conclusion that there's a sub-deity, that means his thinking in this area is corrupt and has no value, he's a complete kafir baker. You see? If, however, in mitzvahs asay, where the mitzvahs asay is apprehension and focus of the mind on certain things, there you have two levels. He thinks of one God, but he never thought about the question of Achdus Hashem. Okay? So there you can say, in kind of first mitzvah, but not the second. But in the negative, it's impossible. Because the moment he draws the conclusion that there's a sub-deity, that means his thinking is distorted. Once his thinking is distorted in the area, then he's finished. Then it's kafir baker. So it's exactly why you need three. Why you have three mitzvahs, one lav, and two asays. Is it? Make that clear. If he posits a sub-deity, then that means he can't be kind of the other mitzvahs either, because it means his thinking doesn't qualify, period. So he's a kofer baker, that's it. Because the whole mitzvah means a certain kind of apprehension. But if his thinking is intrinsically not thought, that's it, he's kofer baker. The lav is a disqualifier. Okay. That's why the Rambam says a kofer baker. He says, don't make a mistake to think that this is a little, he's just over one lav, but he can mekayim the other two. That's exactly, really, that now that you raised the question, I mean, that's what the Rambam is saying. That's why he says the kafar be'ikar. Not just over, but Lav and Kofa Bikim is his guy. He's out of these three mitzvahs. He has nothing to do with it. Where's Besmi Kofa? Cool and everything. Okay. Okay, so now let's see what the contradistinction between the similar kind of ideas that you find in the beginning of the Ram Sefer, in Novos Sefer Torah, and the ideas you find in Tshuva. They sound the same almost, but somehow they're a little different, they're cast a little differently, okay? Yeah. So I wanted to find precisely what that is, okay? Yeah. So the thing is like this, that what the Rambam did was, the Rambam categorized, differentiated between Hilchas Tshuva and Hilchas Yesodei HaTorah. Let's say, I would to take this out and say, between Hilchas Tshuva and the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. There's a difference. What is the difference? The difference is that Avas Hashem is really, nowhere does Ram mention in Avas Hashem anything about Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't say anything about it. Whereas a person can mekayim the mitzvah of Avas Hashem without any knowledge of the Hashgacha. Alright? He has Yedias Hashem, and he could have Achdus Hashem, and he could have, Achdus Hashem doesn't have anything to do with Hashgacha. Achdus Hashem, and Avas Hashem, and Bruv and Ephloim, and the whole thing. But that has nothing to do with Hashgachas Hashem. It's a separate mitzvah. But now when the Rambam approached Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam said just the opposite. Just the opposite, meaning Hilchas Tshuva has everything to do with Hashgachas Hashem. That's really the most basic premise in the whole Hilchas Tshuva. That Hilchas Tshuva has nothing to do with the framework. I can't say nothing to do because everything is Yisrael Gadol Shekol Tovah, but I mean in specific, okay? With the framework of Yedias Hashem of the Hilchas Yisrael HaTorah. In other words, what I mean is like this. That theme goes straight through the Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva from the very beginning to the end. And the beginning where the Rambam says that Tshuva is Ono Hashem, okay? What it means is like this. It means, let's say, for instance, a person is, let's envision a person that's a philosopher, okay, that knows, okay, that Yesha Malakam Matsui, and he knows that there are no sub-deities, and he knows, and he understands the proof of Yichud Hashem, okay, and he's Makayim Avas Hashem. Okay, according to the Rambam, that person would not be able to do tshuva. Just based on, just given those yisodos, he can't do tshuva. So then, why can't he do tshuva? Why not? Why can't a person make a mistake? He sees Avas Hashem, and he sees that this is the whole essence of life, and this is the greatest thing, and he sees. He yesterday went to a baseball game. He wasted a day. So he's a shav, have charata. And I'm sorry I did that. It was ridiculous. I wasted my time. I could have gained more ideas. I could have been closer in terms of my Yedias Hashem. It was a big mistake. Big mistake I made. I could have been, when I say closer, I mean I could have had a greater apprehension, greater knowledge. I would have a greater, better life. My personality would be different. I wasted my time. I wasted a day. I wasted a year. I mean, why can't he be doing tshuva? According to Ram, that's not tshuva. As the Ram says, that is not tshuva. That's simply a person that realized he made a mistake. Nothing to do with tshuva. You say, why? Because according to the Rambam, tshuva is based on a different dimension. It's a different dimension. Tshuva. Loshuv El Hashem, and I'm going to talk around it, so don't hold me to any phrases I say, because in the process, you know, certain phrases may not really be correct, but I'm using them just to come around the Inyan, travel around the Inyan, you know what I mean? Okay. Let me approach it from this way. Right? The Yesod, I'll approach it from two aspects. One is the practicality of tshuva. Okay, here I'm going to be like very mundane in a sense, all right? And the other aspect is the essential ideas of tshuva, the essence of tshuva. But I want to approach from both aspects, okay? I'll start with a simple one, the practical, all right? Yadis maintains that a person has Bechira Chofshis, and a person can exercise this Bechira Chofshis to improve his life or to ruin his life. Okay? But Yehadis maintains that the scheme of existence is not just limited to that. Because there still is one problem. The problem is that a person, it's true that the exercising of Bechira is an internal process, but there's another problem in reaching perfection. And that is that there's a world of chance that a human being finds himself in. And this world of chance can disrupt the process of Bechira. So therefore, a person can be excellent at Bechira, but if the world of chance is against him, he's not going to be able to do it. Okay? Essentially, the area that we have least control, or practically least control over, of course, is the world that has to do with the person's physical well-being. Okay? I mean, whether a person's rich or he's poor, he has this kind of psychological profile, that kind doesn't really matter that much, as long as it's not illness. See, illness is an area where, aside from illness, you could probably say generally, aside from illness, a person's bechira will help him in every area. But what can a person do when he's subject to physical illness? He can't do anything about it. Okay, he's caught. Of course, that's the major one, and that's why I think the Torah mentions Ki Ani Hashem Rafecha. And in the brachas it says the brachas will be in terms of health. And in the klolas, it's the machaloyim royim adam. Because what it means is that's the main area where a person thinks of the ashgacha. Of course, the ashgacha is prominent in areas which are not on the surface as visible as illness. That's the illness is the surface visible as a surface visibility. But there are other areas that are even more important. Okay, that work the same way, and that is the main area, the area of knowledge. The area of knowledge is dependent upon chance. It's dependent upon who you encounter. It depends upon the society you're raised in, the group that you're in, the era you live in, all the different particulars, the world of particulars. You can have wonderful, a person can be very good internally at exercising the Bechira, but he never heard of an idea, he never encountered, he was raised, he's a Yanomami in South America. I mean, his Bechira is worthless, okay? So Bechira, even more than the physical, I mean, physical is directly visible, but even more important, a person's exercising of Bechira is dependent upon chance to the greatest degree. And that's something which a person has no control over. Has no control over. An individual has no control over. Of course, a person that's in a fortunate society, in a fortunate situation, doesn't think about it. But truth of the matter is, if you think about it, you have to say that. What is he different than somebody who was born in Africa? I mean, he happens to be lucky, fortunate. Okay? So Bechira Chofshis, that's the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. That until that time, there was no Bechira because they didn't have the opportunity to exercise Bechira. Because you don't know, you're raised in a society where it's useless. There's no function. So therefore, Yehadus maintains that Bechira Chofshis is only the beginning, the first element, the internal element that can lead a person to perfection. But there are externals as well. So what does Yehadus have to say? So philosophers, Aristotle said that's it. It's the world of chance. That's the way it goes. Okay? So a person that becomes, according to Aristotle, becomes a Plato or a Socrates is fortunate. Okay, and there's nothing more to talk about. That's it. Yehadus maintains, no, that there is the concept of Ashgach, which means to say that if a person exercises his Bechira on a primary level in the proper way, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up the world of particulars for him, opens up a world of particulars, of events and experiences, that allow him to exercise that function to the greatest degree, insofar as his level is. Okay? That's what the Rambam explains in what the Perek, which Perek is it? Kolobotah, HaTorah in Perek Shmini, Perek Tshi, okay, that's the brachas and the klolas. That's what the Rambam says. He says, what are the good, what's the good? He says, Shem Nazav HaTorah Midas V'Nasok Bavli Yazman, Shedayin ha'emes yosir min ha'ozvim kol tovo salam hazeh she'im choski dem livot u'mevi lem kol haros ha'monin osam miliknos ha'olam ha'boa kidei she'yovdu barisham. Okay? And the opposite is true as well. That v'vtichon ha'batara she'im nasa oso b'simcho v'tovas nefesh v'nega b'chachmas ha'tomid she'yosir mimena kol ha'dvar v'monam osam milas osa k'gan chuli u'mulchama v'rav v'kiyotze ba. Okay? All these things. All right? V'yashpil l'nechotos ha'machzikos yisidin l'asas ha'torah v'gansova v'sholom v'ribuy kesef v'zov k'dei sh'lo nasa kol yameinu v'dvarim sh'aguf tzarach l'ayam ala neshif p'nuyim l'umod b'chochmo v'lasas ha'mitzvah k'dei sh'nizkir l'ayam haba. Okay? That's all that is. Which means to say that Bechira is very nice, but the idea of a self-made man is totally nonsensical, because it's a whole world of chance. It's only an arrogant person that could have the consequence. There's so much chance, it's ridiculous. Okay, if a person would really think of all the chances involved, I mean, his very existence is chance. Okay, so what Yehadis maintains is that the exercising of Bechira properly, and even in a small way, that's what Chazal say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that Pischuli kepesach shel machat, v'ani eftach kepesach shel ulam. In other words, if you make exercise the Bechira properly in the smallest manner, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up the world of events and experience, that the person can increase and augment his Bechira and his Zoch L'Chayelam Abba. That's basically the Yesod of Yohanes, you see. So really, what the Rambam is saying is that Tshuva belongs to that realm. In Tshuva, what is a person seeking? And here I'm speaking on a mundane level. In Tshuva, what is a person seeking from God? What is he looking for? His Bechira is not looking for. Bechira he has. That's already, that's embedded in the soul. What he's looking for on a practical level is the world of particulars should be arranged and organized for him so that he can walk through it in a way that he can use the Bechira. And he can increase his attainment of the good. And Bizoch L'Chai Olam Haba. Increase his Chai Olam Haba. Okay? That's really what a person is looking for in tshuva. See? So tshuva on a practical level is not based upon the first yisodos. I mean, everything's based on the first yisodos. You understand what I mean? It's not essentially, because the first yisodos, you see, have nothing to do with the first yisodos. It's simply a philosopher, a chacham, a great chacham. Okay? But in tshuva, what a person is trying to accomplish is he's trying to invoke the Ashgochas Hashem. That's on Hashem. On Hashem. He's trying to invoke the Ashgochas Hashem. Okay? Just a second. So if a person simply decides he made a mistake and he wasted his time yesterday, but he has no concept of Ashgocha, he's not approaching God as the source of arranging the world of particulars, you see, that has nothing to do with tshuva. He made a mistake? Yeah, okay, he made a mistake, and he's correcting the mistake. But that is not tshuva, you see. Tshuva is on Hashem, is where the person is requesting from God the hashgachas Hashem. The hashgachas Hashem. See, that's his practical, motivation in tshuva, you see. That's his practical motivation in tshuva, you see. Yeah, that's how I set it up. In other words, what I'm saying is there's the natural realm in which man lives. The natural realm. That's your Yesod HaTorah. That, and then over there, a person say he made a mistake in the natural realm. That's not do tshuva. Tshuva is on Hashem. Tshuva is where a person is engaging in the realm of Ashgacha. That's the only realm where tshuva exists. That's what the realm posits, basically. That's why tshuva is always on Hashem. Otherwise, tshuva, they made a mistake. You understand what I'm saying? You see? Okay. Now I'll explain to you, it goes deeper. I'm just trying to draw the practice. the practical, okay? Now, hold on a second. Okay. Of course, when you speak about the practical, when you speak about the world of events and Ashgacha, so what are you talking about, basically? What are you talking about? You're talking about Mishpat. That's the world, that's a Malach HaMishpat. That's the world of Mishpat. The world of Mishpat is the world of Ashgacha. The world of Mishpat is not the world of Sheshimei Breshis. That's Olam Kiminoga Noeg. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world. It works that way. People have Bechira. There's that. Everything. That's Yisodei HaTorah. You follow? The world of Ashgacha, essentially, what does Ashgacha mean? It means God judges. That's Mishpat. You see? So now you see that Mishpat and Tshuva are integrally related. You can't separate one from the other. Because Tshuva is in the realm of the Ashgacha, and what is the essence of the idea of Ashgacha is Mishpat. You see? You follow? Okay. So now you see why the Rambam in Perek Gimel is an essential in Hilchos Tshuva. Okay? Because it deals with the concept of Mishpat. Alright? Now what the Rambam says is one more thing. The Rambam says one more thing. And that is, it's not enough to just recognize Mishpat. That there is Mishpat. There is Mishpat. But you must have knowledge of the Mishpat in order to engage in tshuva. You can't just, since Mishpat is the realm of tshuva, because Mishpat is the realm of the Ashgacha, right? So you cannot really engage in tshuva unless you have an understanding of the Mishpat. Because otherwise, how are you going to perform the mitzvah? You have no concept of what the area is. So the Rambam says that in order to understand the realm of Mishpat, you must understand not only that there is Mishpat, but you must understand what it means, the particulars of the Mishpat as well. You must understand who God condemns. Who is condemned through Mishpat, and the distance that person has from the realm of Ashgacha. You follow what I mean? In other words, you must. It's not enough just to say there's Mishpat and just to say on Hashem. A person must have a knowledge and an understanding of those elements which place him favorably in the world of Mishpat and unfavorably in the world of Mishpat. He must understand, in other words, he must understand the world of Mishpat in order to be involved in tshuva, because tshuva relates to that world, and if you don't understand that world, you have no place in the whole system of tshuva. It's not enough just to, otherwise the tshuva simply made a mistake. That's Yisodei HaTorah, that's not tshuva. You must understand this realm so you know how to approach God, and you know what the Mishpat is, and you must understand those that's what the Rambam has both, basically. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, he has those who are condemned, Rishoyim, Nidunim, V'nevodim, La'olam, 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 and then in the last parak, what does he have? He has those who are on the highest level. Okay, Oved Me'avah. You must know. These are the things you have to know. Who is distant from God in terms of Mishpat? Who is close to God? Of course it is true that the world of particulars, is organized according to the person's closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Ram says, that the Emeshaya is a Meruchot, Meshukot Vesoeva, Vayomu Korv Nechmod Vidid. You see? Oh, Vinechmod Korv Vidid. So the Rambam is, that's what it depends upon. But that closeness and distance is, in order for a person to be in that realm, he has to understand the reality of Mishpat. And he has to understand this concept of Mishpat and the concept of those things which place a person favorably in the realm of Mishpat and unfavorably. He must know the understand, have a comprehension of the world of Mishpat, because that's the world of Hashgacha and that's the world of Tshuva. That's the world of Tshuva. The world of Tshuva is not the natural realm. The world of Tshuva is Loshuv El Hashem. It means the person desires a closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that closeness results in the world of particulars falling out in a way that's favorable for him, so that he can continue to approach even further and to continue to augment his bechira and to increase his knowledge and his chachma and his chelek in olam haba. Okay, that is the desire of the individual, and he must comprehend. He must apprehend the system in which it exists. Otherwise, he has no concept of the world of Tshuva. The world of Tshuva is the world of Mishpat, and the way God relates to man, and who is close to God, and who's, by being close to God, his particular situation is such that it's favorable, and who's distant is not favorable. The whole system he has to understand. Okay? That's what Aram says, that the Elu Shehein Chrosim V'Neva V'Nevodim V'Nidunim B'Godol Rishon La'olam La'olam. He must know that. He must understand who in terms of Mishpat is the most distant, and what are those causes that make a person most distant. Okay, you follow? Okay, now let's take a look on that framework. You'll see that the Halacha Zayin, Pergim Halacha Zayin and Halacha Ches fit in very nicely. Now he's talking about the most distant ones, the ones that are furthest removed from Ashgacha, from the realm of Ashgacha. They are the furthest removed from God. So he says, Omar Shein Shem Alaka, Nein Lo Lamanig, Omar Shein Shem Manig, Avalin Shnaim, O Yeser, etc. All the five things. Alright? Now, over here the Rambam is not explaining. This is not Hilchas Yisod HaTorah, where he's teaching you intrinsically the apprehension of the correct notions. That's Hilchas Yisod HaTorah. Okay. Over here, he's in the who is furthest removed from God in terms of Mishpat, right? Now, this is not philosophy, in other words. What he's doing is, he is isolating that he cannot relate to God because he must have some connection to the physical. You see? And every one of those five is an expression of that. That's why there's no difference between Malach and between the first case. You see, these should be separate categories. Malach, okay, he's moda by Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he's looking for Melech. It means that every one of these five is an expression of a defect of the individual, that he simply must always have some kind of relationship to a physical deity, okay? And that's why Shnayim, because you see, for instance, if you study the primitive sages, I mean, in Yishayo, another means the one that Shtei Rishuyos. That's Shalayim Shtei Rishuyos, and the Tfilis, the Motzim Dash Shtei. Why Shtei Rishuyos? Because a person has a good side in his nature, and he has an evil side. So the Shtei Rishuyos is a projection outward of things which exist inside his psyche. See? That means he has to relate to something that's a part of himself. Can't relate to God, to the real God. You understand what I'm saying? The Melech can't relate to God because he must have some kind of a medium that this is what he can relate to. You see? So the every one of these things, you see, or if he says Shein Lo Lamanik, what does that mean? That means it's just the physical universe that I see. That's what the world calls the ultimate scientist. Okay, that means that just the physical, nothing else exists. That's it. That's all I've said. Okay, so that means he only accepts that which is observable, the observable world. That's all he accepts. Same thing. It's all the same underlying thing. The Chen Omer, Shubal Gufat Muna. That's obvious. Okay, or Sheino Levado Harishim Vatzulakal. It's the same kind of thing. It means he can accept partially, but he has a problem. There must be something else there, ultimate, besides this. Okay? It means the Rambam means every one of these. Here the Rambam's not explaining like in the Yisod HaTorah, he's showing you the idea step by step. He must grasp every little step. Over here, he's telling you this is why the individual is meruchok from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has this defect of personality. That's category one. Category two, the ones that are upper person, okay, the ones that are upper person, is an individual who he's not a man. He's not a man. In other words, which means to say that he believes in God. It's fine. It's fine. But what bothers him? She'ein sham nevuah klal, ve'ein sham mada shemagia me'aborei lelev b'nei ha'odom. Okay. V'amakhish nevuasa sham Moshe Rabbeinu, v'omer she'ein aborei yodea ma'asei b'nei ha'odom. What is the defect over here? The defect is, you see, he can accept God, but he cannot accept the relationship between God and man. That's his problem. If people like that, they accept that as long as God is an abstract, it's fine. But that there's a relationship, and what, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually knows everything I'm doing, he's aware of every action that can be. He can't tolerate that idea, you see? And that's why he can't tolerate Nevuah. And that's why I can't tolerate the idea, the Nevuah Sashem Moshe Rabbeinu, because it means to say what he's saying is that, you see, it doesn't matter whether he says it because he doesn't think God relates to man, or if he says it because he thinks man is not capable or deserving of God's relationship. They give me either side of the coin. You understand? It doesn't matter why. It means that emotion is something which he can't overcome. He could say because, that God is so great that he can't have anything to do with man. Man is not great enough. That makhish nivosh shemosh rabbeinu means that a human being could never be that great. No human being can be that great. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's nivosh is qualitatively differentiated. Pel per dababa. So I could see that there could be a relationship with God, but not like that. Okay? So either because he says God doesn't, it doesn't matter whether he says God doesn't relate to man, or he says man is too small. Man is too small. He's a big animal. Man is too small, and therefore he can't tolerate the relationship. And that's why the same defect is he can't tolerate the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yodea Machshavos. That's the same emotional kind of thing. And that's really what bothers him. That God knows everything. He can't tolerate that concept that everything he's doing is being observed by an infinite being. This is the source of all existence. He can't tolerate that idea. It's intolerable. He has to be free. He can't have that. That's the emotion of the second group, and the third group is another emotional profile. Ha'omar she'ein she'kof matar she'ein atar mi'm Hashem afilu pasukechad kofa bepirusha v'tosh lapeh and machish magideha and habori hechlof mitzvazu. It means to say there he can't tolerate the idea that the perfect system was given at a certain point, and this system is perfect, can't be changed. It is the ultimate perfection. The ultimate perfect system was given thousands of years ago. That can't be. That's impossible. That's the historian, basically. That's the historian. That's the emotion of the historian. That such a thing cannot be. You understand what I'm saying? That's the emotion that he can't have. That's a makrish magideo. They can't be, this Mesorah can't be correct because people make mistakes, and it must be that he said it because of this reason, and he said that because of another reason. It can't be that we today have the authentic ideas Mesinai. Impossible. Okay? Telephone conversation, all this stuff. That's the historian, the fear of the historian. That's the third group. So basically, that's what the categorization in Nuchas Shuvah is, a different type of categorization. You know what I'm saying? It's a categorization which is based upon a person must know who is meruchak from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Hashgacha and who's karov HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So the categorization is based upon the classification according to the causes of the defects that make a person removed and distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not according to what are the ideas that have to be apprehended and the elements and the various facets and the perfection of perception that's involved in ideas. That's Hilchos Torah. That's not it. Okay, two different frameworks. Okay. Now let me just quick look at it. So now that we said that it basically tshuva, the concept of tshuva is not simply a person made a mistake. The concept of tshuva is a person's relationship to God in terms of the hashgacha, which is mishpat basically, and the person is desirous of having the situation where his bechira can be enhanced through Hashgacha, which is basically Kirv L'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So, of course, it involves himself, it involves the rest of the world too. See? Now, that's why the Ram is like this. The Ram says that Afa Pishitkis, I'll tell you what. See, the Rambam in Dalet is really a continuation from before. I think you alluded to that at one point. See, so yes. He says, Mishin imsa rush and act on the Misa Benyaton so Yom Kippur must shiva. Now go yes. Fine. In other words, what he's saying, what the Rambam has introduced over here, is that you cannot be involved in tshuva unless you understand the realm of Mishpat. That's paragimel. Okay? Because Mishpat is Hashgacha, and tshuva is not the living the natural life, it's living the life that invokes the Hashgacha. Okay? So therefore, what the Rambam is saying is like this. He tells you in Gimel on the about the when God judges, which is annually. Okay, annually means person that's the unit. Then it's like this. He says, and this idea really, the idea that it's Rosh Hashanah, you see, is expressed in the Tkiyas Shofar. That's Dalet. Because first he posits that that's the way it goes. Right? He says like this. Kach shokmim b'chol shana v'shana, right? Shokmim avon skolam b'boil on miskol b'yomtov shor Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and then he says afal pi, and he says in this concept now he's explaining agavocha something that's true, but not only is it true, but it's actually inferred from a mitzvah, the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar. Okay, that's the continuity there. Okay, now it's like this. Now he says, Since this is so, since you see that a person is judged in units, unit of his life and unit of year, and you see also that the Torah thought it so important that it created a mitzvah tkiyas shofar, which actually points to that idea. And the Rambam is long. The tkiyas shofar in the Rambam is very long. I mean, there's a big long statement there. Okay. Which means, since that's the case, you see the importance of Mishpat, and Yahadus made it clear from Tkiyas Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, alright? Since that's the case, he says like this, Tzorach kol odam sheyir atzma kol Hashanah kulik l'chetzi chai v'chetzi zekoi. V'chein kol odam kulo. Asa mitzvah chas, okay, right? What does it mean? It means like this. He means, see, a person worries about things in accordance with their significance. I mentioned this many times. It's like somebody said, why is a person worried about a shark in the ocean? Chances are so small, right? I mean, one in billions probably. But the reason is it's so horrible that you have to be concerned about it. a person will be concerned about something, and conversely, if something's very good, so even a small possibility is something to consider. Because the greatness of the benefit. That's it. Lefichach means, since this is so significant, and you see that the Torah even took a mitzvah which has a long remez, okay? So therefore, he says, a person must even consider the possibility that he's 50-50, and this one mitzvah is going to do it, and this one aveira is going to destroy it, because the Ashgachas Hashem is so significant that without that, you haven't got a chance. You have Bechira, but all the world of particulars is going to destroy you. So since that's so significant, okay, you must always consider the possibility that your machzah, one mitzvah can do, one avera can destroy. You follow? That's the lefichach. After he gets finished explaining about the fact that you judge, and then he says, not only that, but tkiyas shofar was niskan, it's a technical mitzvah, but it's remez yeshbo, and the Ram doesn't mean that there's any doubt about it, it's part of the mitzvah, actually. So it's a kiyum in the mitzvah. So since that's the case, so it's so significant, so you have to be concerned. And not only do you have to be concerned at the time of judgment, but even in the middle of the year, because now you're laying down the potential for the judgment. So even though the judgment doesn't come till the end of the unit, but if you did something which is machriya kol olam lekav schus, or the other way, that it means now you create a potential situation for judgment that can destroy the entire world. Even the potential you must be concerned about. That's what Ram says. Lefichach, tzorach kol olam sheyir atzmo kol hashana kula. You see? Why? Because that's what he's saying. Lefichach is a big lefichach. Since, as we've explained, the significance of the concept of mishpat and hashgacha, And now you see it's such an important thing that a person has to even be aware of the possibility, not of that, but the possibility that kol olam kulo is machza machza. He should think of even that. Maybe that's the case. Okay? That's what Aram says. And then he says, Mnei inze nogu kol beisro laharbas bitstok of asachanunim and maisen tovim merashana gimikvim yeser mikol hashana. Why? Because that's the ace mishpat. Then it's not in potential anymore. Then it's actual. You see? Then it's actuality. So if in potential you have to be so concerned because of the significance of the mishpat, the significance of the ashgacha, and what it could mean in a person's life, chayalam haba, it's the ultimate. So therefore, certainly in the ace mishpat, the person must be concerned. Okay, then it's actuality. And that's why Kol Yisrael is knowing to do mitzvos and ma'aseh, because to show the significance now is the ace mishpat. That's when a person should be concerned about that. That's the ultimate time to be concerned. And that's what Aram says before in Perek Beis. That's what it means. When he says that in Perek Beis Vav, afal pisha tshuva tzoka yafa la'olam basar yom shebein rashonim yakru hu yafa b'yosem eskabal z'b'yosem. What does it mean? It means like this. It means that since in Hilchas Tshuva, what is necessary for Hilchas Tshuva? Knowledge of what Mishpat is, what Ashgach is, because that's the realm. Ono Hashem, that's the realm. The realm is the world of the Ashgacha, the world of the Malach Mishpat. So since that's the realm, and you must understand this realm, when a person is in actuality in the process of mishpat, and the mind apprehends mishpat as an actuality and a reality, that's when the tshuva is the greatest. Because then he's in the world of tshuva in the highest level. He's in the world of tshuva in terms of knowledge, that's kol hashana too. But in the world of tshuva, because he's preoccupied with tshuva, because now it's the ace mishpat, that kind of a tshuva emerges from knowledge and experience and involves the entire soul of a person, and that tshuva is the highest level of tshuva in this kabbalas miyat. But if it's not the ace mishpat, even though it's apprehended through the das, but the experience is lacking, then it is not the highest. It's not the highest level. That's what Ram said. So really, the that's what Ram means when he says that's why that's man is this man of. Is the true Zman of Tshuva. Because the reality of the Kadosh Baruch Hu being Yoshev B'Mishpat, that knowledge of that reality somehow or other summons up and makes more real to the individual the knowledge that he has in ideational knowledge. The ideational knowledge becomes alive. Experience is what makes a person think. I mean, all kinds of halacha, all kinds of halacha. You sit down, it's a meal, you don't know, you make this bracha, that. The world experience evokes chagim or adim, I mean, migdash, I mean, all the experience is something which brings into play the intellect, the mind, in a different way, especially when it has to do with his very life. So there, when it has to do with his life, and he has the realization of mishpat, that's when the ideas of mishpat are really summoned to the highest degree in the person's soul, and then the tshuva is a tshuva which has the highest degree of knowledge. That kind of tshuva is miskabels miyat. Okay. Yeah. The zman is not zman for Kadosh Baruch Hu, chalila. Zman for Adam. The idea of the sub-deity, the idea of Meshvah, the last point, the idea of the sub-deity is basically, I said, It means it's a defect. It's a primitive. It's a primitive defect. It belongs in the somebody mentioned. It belongs in the categorization of Hilchos Tshuva. Really, it means that he cannot tolerate the idea of God in abstract. Okay, he can't tolerate that. So that means that such an individual is corrupt. And his basic defect in his character and his thinking is worthless. No, there's only one motivation of an individual.
No reason to assume
exactly. And if you do, you must be sick mentally, philosophically. So therefore, all this thinking is worthless.